you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. On the air. What I'm going to do is I'm going to fix this difficulty, and I'll be right back. Because I don't know if I'm on the air yet. We'll be right back. I think I'm on the air. Yep. All right. Thank you. We're going to open up the phone, 747, and see if they can hear me. 747's gone. All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. I am Brian the Hammer Jackson, and our topic today is the rise and fall of the gay mafia, a powerful cabal. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are global. You know, in Hollywood, it is known by, the industry is owned by gay people, Jewish gay people. And there seems to be some kind of cabal going on. Is it true? Is it not true? Is it an underlying cabal? We're going to find out what it is. And let me tell you something. If you'd like to come in this show, it's not hard to do because we already got four or five people in the show already, in the studio, which I did not expect. If you'd like to come on, I'll give you the number. Here we go. And you should have the number because if you're calling in and it's an internet show, chances are you have the number. You do have the number. But just in case, it's 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number. I'll get you in the studio. So let's get right to it. We're going to have special guests on the show. Some are confirming right now. I haven't done an interview in a while, but they're coming in. Some are musical guests. Some are sports legends. That's coming right up. And some in the entertainment industry. I'm going to give you a hint. This is one of the guys that I want coming on the show while we're talking about Mafia. He has a podcast now. And I'm hoping this works. I'm hoping this works. I give you a hint, but here you go. Adam Carolla interviewed him. Here we go.
A power pack, please. All right. Can you hear me? We are having technical difficulties. I'm going to fix this. Give me 2 seconds. I promise I will fix this. We'll be right back. Try this. Welcome back to the show. I'm going to see if you can hear me now. We had technical difficulties. Like I said, we're having guests on the show, and we got some good guests coming up. One of the guests that I'm trying to get, you heard a little bit of who he was, and I am surprised he had a a podcast. So one of the guests on the show I want to get is Sammy DeBull. That's who I want. And here he is on Adam Carolla.
This is my dad, Chuck Norris.
He
doesn't do push-ups. He pushes the earth.
So I haven't heard. I was surprised he had a podcast. So.
And the older you get,
I'm going to try to forward through the interview because I had never heard him do an interview on a podcast. We're going to listen to a little bit of it, and hopefully he'll be on this show soon. Here we go. This is Adam Carolla, and Sammy DeBull is on his show. So I wanted to get a feel about if he does come on this show, how to interview him. Here we go.
Sammy the Bull Gravano back in studio. He's got a podcast called Our Thing, Season 5, available for streaming on Crime and Conspiracy Network. And you can check out his website, SammyTheBull.com. Good to see you again, Sammy.
My pleasure, my pleasure. We had a great time last time, and I think I stole some of your viewers, and I'm going to try and do it again.
Good.
Nice.
There's enough room in the podcast world for people who love Sammy and myself. We know about Sammy's past, but I'll get some people caught up, initiated in the Gambino family, and made. He was a made man. We now all learn that from Goodfellas and other movies. In 1976, how were you made? Do you remember that day and what the ceremony was?
Clear as a bell. It was one of the most important days of my life. In a way, it was good. In a way, it screwed up my life. So it was important in a lot of different ways. I went to a little house, went down the basement. Paul Castellano was there, table full of guys, captains and main guys. Blood oath. I cut my finger, put my blood on the sink. Rolled it back and forth to my hand while I took the oath, and as of that day, I was a made member.
What is the oath? Do you remember it?
You know, I initiated the oath to other people when I got up in rank. There's a lot of things. The Italian part, parts of it I knew. Parts of it, when they were talking in Italian, I didn't even understand. But they ask you a lot of questions. They tell you it's a brotherhood and a secret society. And if you'd like to be a member of that secret society, and then they ask you things, would you kill for the family? And they asked if I knew everybody who was there. And I said yes. Most of them I know. But I knew their positions. Some of them were captains and some of them were made guys. They asked if I liked them, and I said yes. And all of some rules of those in Austria that would be explained later. And I took the blood oath, and I became a made member in the Mafia.
What is the ranking order to the Mafia, if you sort of compared it to the military, where you go, look at the four-star general, that's the Don or something, and then you move down?
We are having technical difficulty. Let me open up the mics so I can get some feedback, see if you can hear me. Hey, Pat, how are you? Can you hear me, Pat?
Hi. Yeah, yeah.
Hi, sweetheart. Can you hear me?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah. So I guess you could hear me.
Haven't done it yet.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
How do I sound? I'm using my cell phone than the other phone. Do I sound okay?
It sounds different, but it's okay.
It's okay? Good.
Yeah.
Because my other phone crapped out on me, so I have to use my cell right now just for today. And then at Black Friday, I forgot to get a phone.
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
isn't
so I'm using
it still
my
Black Friday?
No, today is Cyber Monday.
Oh, well, then that works, doesn't it?
We got some special guests coming on, Pat. This one, have you ever heard of Sammy the Bull? Do you know Mafia stories?
No. No.
Have you ever heard of John Gotti?
Yeah.
You heard it. You know John Gotti was a mafioso, right? Sammy the Bull was his right hand man.
I see.
And Sammy the Bull was the one who turned state evidence or federal evidence that got John Gotti locked up in prison.
How many years ago was this?
Oh my God, maybe the 90s, mid 90s, late 90s, maybe.
But okay, I think I remember something about that.
Yeah, well, Sammy the Bull is still around, and I was surprised that he had a podcast. And so I send out some feelers out there. I'm crossing my fingers and hoping he'll come on this show. Fiosa, he's a mafia-made man.
Hmm.
And if he does come on our show, would you like to give him a reading, a psychic reading?
Sure.
It better be a good one. Better be a good one. Because he's a mafia guy, you know, mafia guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I have not heard him get interviewed yet. And I rarely do it because when I said, I'm crossing my fingers. Nobody committed, but I'm crossing my fingers. But if he did come on the show.
Yeah.
I don't know what interviews he already had, the same questions. You know, that's boring. I never really look at interviews because usually I like to ask my own questions, but I'm just curious about the questions they ask this guy. So we're going to listen to a little interview he did with a comedian, and he used to be a radio host, Adam Carolla. So he did an interview with him.
Okay.
So I'm kind of listening to this interview to get an idea of what they asked him, how he's going to answer, and that kind of thing. So that's why we're listening to the interview.
Mm-hmm.
So bear with me. It's a good interview. And then we're going to talk about the gay mafia in the entertainment industry. That's what we're leading up to. The gays. And we have experience with our gay people here because Mr. Solution is the rainbow president of the parade.
Oh, you are really asking for it.
Hello. I know. We have 411s in the studio. Okay, it's just a private joke for the studio people. It always makes Pat when I say Mr. Solution is a gay man and he leads a parade in Hollywood every year. And it's rainbow booty shorts. All right, here we go. This is the interview. I'm just trying to get the feel of who he is. And again, I don't usually listen to other interview, but this may be interesting. Here we go.
Say like captain and maid guys. You'd have to be a maid guy to be a captain, right?
Yeah, before you were captain, you would be a maid guy. The administration, they call it, is the head of the family, the boss, the underboss, and the consigliere of the family. And below them are the captains. Below them, each captain has a crew of maid men. Below that, there's associates in the mafia. The boss, the representative of the family, is the father of the family. It's a little different than the military because I was in the military. I understand the chain of command with that. But he is the father of your family. So he's above, they tell you, he's above everything. God, country, and family.
Yeah,
personal family.
So tell me what you think of this because we'll try to have some more modern-day application to the days of yore when you were in the family. You know, I'm looking down and you see that, you know, you guys were involved in construction and trucking. You always hear garbage and stuff like that. And it seems to me that organized crime sort of does what we'll let them do. And if you take a look at, let's say, the Mexican what's going on in Mexico and a lot of those, a lot of the organized crime there, they'll go, all right, we're in the pot business. And then at some point we legalize pot. And they go, okay, now we're in the fentanyl business. And then we'll legalize this or change that. And they go, okay, now we're in the human trafficking business. You know, they're very fluid. Like, they'll go where the money is, and they will be totally diverse.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing drugs. They're doing people. They're doing coyote smuggling work. Like, they're literally doing it, but again, doing what essentially we shut this door and they just go open that door. Is that a fair assessment? How much do you know about?
Well, that's the Mexican gangs, cartels, stuff like that. The mafia is different. We see what society needs and wants. It's not about prohibition and so many different things. And we fit right in. Gambling started with us.
Right.
Vegas started with us. Construction, industries, garbage, making bread. Every industry we infiltrated. The clothing industry, the diamond industry, the stock market. You name it, we're in some capacity. We fit our 2 cents in it. Unions were literally created and run by the mob back in the day. So we fit in all over the place, and we take a piece of everything that we do. So we're different. We don't, I don't want to compare myself with a cartel or the mafia with a cartel. We do have some scruples and morals above that. You mentioned fentanyl. You know, I'm on a campaign with that. I can't stand that drug. You know, and I'm talking on shows and I'm talking about how they're getting all kinds of different pills and they're lacing it with that.
Right.
They're intentionally getting people hooked.
Right.
And killing a lot of people because it's just a little bit. You
yeah.
Like accidentally overdose. Just like the smallest amount. It's
yeah.
So scary.
It's horrible. I think something like the number one killer of people under 40 now
is
ODing. And the thing that's fucked up about it is the people in power, the government, fucked up the border. So all the fentanyl's coming over the border. So we go, what's going on with the fentanyl? And they go, well, we're not interested because it's coming over because we fucked up the border. So we don't have the people in charge taking note of it, because the next question, if you go to fentanyl is a national emergency, then the next question is what the fuck are you doing with the border? And they don't want to get to that next question.
Let me jump in for that.
Yes.
You know, we have a ship. Let's call it, we have a ship, a naval ship in the water. We have 200 sailors on it, and it's torpedoed or missile hit from another country. It wouldn't take 2 seconds. We would declare war. We'd be in an all-out war for 200 people in a ship.
Right.
We have 100,000 people hooked on fentanyl. 50,000 people died. And there's no war.
Right.
That's okay. Opening up the border, we're humane, and we're letting this come in. It's not that we don't know. Every government agency is telling the government, or the Border Patrol, everybody, this is pouring into our country. Now, they're not stupid politicians. So what is it? If they're not stupid, they completely understand what's going on. Why wouldn't they shut this border? So it brings back money, greed, power. This is where the mafia differs from that, even these politicians. You could say the mafia is more violent or more dangerous. I don't think so.
Oh, not than the cartel.
Not even close.
God.
Not only the cartels. We know where it's coming from. We know it's coming from China and India.
Yeah. No, not only that, but, I mean, they have a whole semi-trucks with 50 people who just perished in the most unimaginable way possible, just locked into the back of a container in the back of a semi-truck, just abandoned in the Texas desert to all expire, 50 people, and our government wants to get the Border Patrol mounted patrol suspended because there's pictures of them waving their reins around while Haitians run for cover. That's where they focus all of their energy, which is insane. It's
totally
insane what's happened.
And I would like to ask you more than him, where's the Me Too movement? Where are they? There's kids being raped, molested on coming through the border. Legitimate people from Mexico and different countries. It's not just Mexico.
Yeah.
Coming through for real. You're trying to get away from some horrible countries. They're being prostituted, raped,
it's terrible.
Killed. But where's the Me Too movement? Why don't they say something about that?
I have no idea because...
This is very disturbing. You got Sammy the Bull, the number one mafia guy, hit guy, killed people. And he's coming on a radio show saying that, asking for the Me Too movement. Really? Really? And he's coming on the radio saying about the fentanyl and the drugs and the mafia is different and how can we have them declare war that shut the border down? Seriously? Here's Sammy the Bull. Here's Sammy the fucking Bull. Now he sounds like a pussy politician. In fact, maybe you should change your name from Sammy the Bull to Sammy the Kitty Cat. Because you sound like a pussy. You sound like a little pussy. Like a little meow guy. You sound like Mr. Fred. Where's Mr. Fred? Kitty, kitty, kitty. Fred. Where's Fred?
He's eating right now. Sorry.
Oh, I chew Fred, and then he's eating. That's the only cat in the union. What the hell? I'm in the union. Leave me alone, Hammer. Oh, my God. Okay, Mittens. Let me call you Mittens. Wow. I mean, this is so disappointing. I mean, this is a killer. You've killed a lot of people. And he's coming on talking about closing the border and looking for Me Too movement. What the fuck? Sammy the Kitty Cat. The Bull. I mean, oh, come on. Maybe he'll change his tune. Maybe a little bit more. Maybe he'll change his story. Maybe he'll change his tune and grow some bulbuls. Here we go.
I don't mean it because you're a woman.
Because you're a woman, the old Samuel Bullwood gave her a crosshand across the chops. Because I'm not saying that you too because you're a woman. What the fuck? Send me the kitty cat.
Meow. Meow.
Sammy, where's the bull? Bring us the bull. Grow some bull balls. Maybe he gets tougher a little later. Let's see.
Why wouldn't you care about that?
It's the same as when some Muslims beat a woman to death for not wearing her hijab correctly.
Yes.
They don't give two fucks. They're worried about states and abortion or the ceiling 77 cents of the dollar. They're worried about first world woman's problems versus the real atrocities that are going on because they're hypocrites. But also, there are the most woke people in the world, and the Muslims are a different culture, and the Mexicans are a different culture, and they're a little bit darker in skin tone, and you cannot judge. The second somebody becomes an ethnicity other than white, we're done judging. We spend all our energy trying to tear down a fucking statue of some founding father or something, and we have zero thoughts about what's going on in the Middle East or on the other side
horrific.
Of the border. Yes.
No, I just had a serious argument. Somebody was telling me about during the pandemic, there's a problem with people giving up dogs to shelters, and they couldn't afford to feed them or giving them up. And nobody adopts them during this
you're talking about adopting a fucking dog, and you're upset about dogs getting the shelters? What the fuck? Sammy! You're Sammy the fucking Bull! My mouth is
they
open.
Don't have to be... They don't have to be like that all the time, you know.
But he kills people with no second thoughts. Horrifically, he's a made guy. He has hurt people. He has done things. He has trafficked drugs and everything. And he's talking about, where's the U2 movement? Peace. Let's talk about the puppies. The puppies. The dogs.
Brian. Oh,
my. Yes, yes, help me out here. Yes, Mittens. Help me out, Mittens.
Yes, there is a, just because they're made and all that doesn't mean they don't think about other things.
I'm sure. Well, maybe the guy that they killed has a dog. Did they think about that? Here's all I have to say.
I don't think they did.
I think it's Sammy's kitty cat. And this is what I have to say about that. That's right. He turned pussy on us. Fred loves his song. Fred, this is your song. This is the Fred. Why do you think Fred's dancing at disco? Oh, I love that jam. I love that jam. Says Fred. What was that? What was that group? So sexy for myself. It was a group called Said Fred.
I don't know.
I think it was. But I mean, I'm really disappointed at Sammy the Kitty Cat.
Why?
The dogs. What about the dogs? And what about the YouTube movement? I mean, I'm not saying this. I don't want to offend you because you're a woman. What? What? Who neutered the bull? Who neutered the bull? All right, let's get tough here. Let's get tough. Melissa's probably choking on her coffee right now going, what the fuck is that? Because Melissa loves crime stories and mafia stories, and she's probably right now, you know, beside herself with Sammy the Kitty Cat. I mean, my God, I was it all weekend. I was thinking, man, I have a chance to get Sammy the Bull, the most notorious mobster, the legendary mobster on the show. And I was bragging about it, and they go, well, you got to be careful what you say. You don't want to upset Sammy. You don't want to upset Sammy. Sammy's upsetting me. Where's the YouTube movement? Where's the dogs? Sing it, Fred.
You're not gonna get them.
Brad will come. Come on, Brad. Show yourself. You got the only union cat in the business. He will not perform when he's supposed to. Not perform when he's supposed to. All right,
well,
maybe Sammy the
boy is.
I guess so. You spoiled him. You spoiled the kitty. You spoiled the kitty.
Yeah, I did.
You spoiled the... All right, here's Sammy the Bull. Let's see if we can get anything better. Let's see if he gets tough. Let's see if he gets so far, it's like I'm very disappointed in him. Maybe he'll get tougher. Here we go.
Pandemic, and I want them. So they're killing dogs. They're putting them down. And I just talked to some people, women, and they were completely livid by that.
Yeah.
So I said, what would you want them to do with you, all these dogs, if there's that many? I mean, and then you're super involved in that. Really disgusting. But you don't mind a woman's body. You want to kill kids. You want to have abortions.
What?
There's a lot of
hypocritical bullshit.
You'll kill
people.
First off, women.
Can it get any worse than that? Now he's anti-abortion. And you're talking about a woman's body? This is Sammy the fucking Bull. And you're talking about abortions, that women are killing kids?
He's Catholic, isn't he?
But he kills people for a living. He's Sammy the fucking Bull. He's Sammy Gravano. The dude walks down the street and everybody runs in the house and locks the doors and hoping they don't get whacked. But he comes out and talking about anti-abortion? Women are killing babies. Yes, they are. I'm amazed. This is killing me. This is killing me. This is really killing me. It's sad. It's a sad day in crime, my friends, when Sammy the Bull is talking about hashtag Me Too movement, anti-abortion, and dogs. And he's upset and closing the border. Like I said, I never listen to an interview, just in case they do come on a show, but Sammy the Kitten Gravano, that's right, I am not afraid of this guy, because I think he's a... Hello, join with me, men. Bring in the chorus. Now. You think your cat's gay? You think Mr. Fred is gay?
No.
You don't think he is? How do you know? Did you get him neutered?
Yeah, and he still wanted to go after female.
Now that's a man. You know what I'm trying? Even when you have no balls, you're still wanting to get out and go, hello, ladies. Hello. I can't hump you, but I'll look at you and I can talk dirty in your little cat ears. Hello. All right. Now that's a real man. I'd rather interview Mr. Fred and Sammy the Kitten Gravano. Maybe he'll get better. I don't know. I don't think I should ever listen to this interview. I don't know. And by the way, the reason we're doing this is because if you look at the show, it looks like it. I think I missed a letter. He, Rise of the Gay Mafia. It's not the he. I forgot the he. I got to get rid of the he. Rise of the Gay Mafia, a powerful cabal. And a lot of straight people are thinking that there's an underground thing in entertainment industry with the gay people. And it's a huge cabal that's going on that's targeting some straight people. And this is an underlying thing that's been going on for a while. And so the setup mafia, I tried to hit the best guy I could and to see if he can come on the show. And then I wanted to listen to a little bit of the interview that he may have done. So if he does come on the show, I could talk to him a mano, you know what I mean? A mano, not a mano and pussy. If I wanted to talk to a pussy, I would call 900, call me, Sammy the Kitty Cat. And you're defending Sammy the Kitty Cat. Well, Brian, you know, some people like dogs. Just because he's a made man doesn't mean he doesn't like dogs. Pat! All right.
Well, I used to know a lot of them.
Well, we did, you know, it was funny because we had a, long ago, it was a friend of mine, long ago, many moons ago. His name was Benny DeVito. I did a show once, and I was talking, and I was imitating a dog being put down, and it upset Benny.
Mm-hmm.
So Benny calls in. And Benny talks like Sammy the Bull. I mean, straight on mafioso, and he was associated with the mafia. Benny and I became great friends. And I wish him well. I miss the dude. I really miss the dude. and he tried to go straight, but he was great for radio, man. He sounded just like Sammy the Bull. You know, I can't even imitate him. Like, Brian. I mean, he did sound a little bit like the Godfather. It was cool. And one of my executive producers or my host fell in love with him, Diane. They were like her and the mafioso guy. But he came on because of the dog, the reason I told the story. And I guess even mafioso guys have a little heart for the doggies. But abortion, really? You know, let's see what happens. Let's see if he gets tough. Let's see if he gets some boo balls. Yeah, get some oysters down there. Come on, Sammy.
If you here's a woman's wire. If you said a plane crashed and 279 people, including the crew, died, and they go, oh, and then you go, and three dogs. They go, oh, my God.
By the way, being as a woman, that is not me.
That is not you.
That is definitely not me.
I'm going to give you a couple $100. Your pants are ripped. What's the matter?
I actually came here to get a couple $100 from you. That's why I wore these pants.
You got it.
I have a question.
Years ago, if I wore pants with rips like that, they'd call me a bum. Now it's sexy.
I know.
It's cool.
It is.
I love it.
I don't think that's $200.
I have a question that I've never thought of, and I don't know if it's ever been asked. But, you know, you're talking about the mafia getting involved with unions and getting involved with bakeries and transportation and construction and garbage and all that prohibition. It's kind of interesting. What you're saying is people want to gamble and they wanted booze. The mafia just went, all right, we'll figure this out. Right. But did the mafia or has the mafia made any businesses better in the sense that I have an agent, you have an agent, you know, they take 10% or whatever, but you go, I'll give you your cut. You wet your beak because you got me a better job or a better deal. In your recollection, has the mafia made any businesses better, innovated?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we made Vegas. We built half the country by bringing in people and running unions and stuff like that. But politicians are what destroyed it.
Wait a minute. I'm calling it. Let me get the official bullshit here. Bullshit. Let me get the official bullshit. True, he did not make Vegas. It did not make me – wait, I get the official bullshit.
Oh, shit.
Thank you. That's the official bullshit. Who made it? Was it Rothschild? Hold on. It was Roth. Hold on. I just got it. I'll get you the thing. You've seen The Godfather. There's a little story there. The mafia that started Vegas was, Bugsy Siegel. Siegel was the one who started Vegas. Bugsy Siegel was the one who created Vegas. Now, who was Bugsy Siegel? Well, Bugsy Siegel was a Jewish mafia guy. See, I'm going to try to explain it, and I know that Melissa is knows the history of the mafia. She reads the book. She's interested in the mafia. So I'm going to try to say it, and if I say it wrong, she may come in and correct me. And we've seen The Godfather is kind of true. The Jewish people ran the mafia. The Italians came in, but the Jewish people were the crime. They were the crime people. They were the tough. They were the ass. They were the mafia, the Jewish mafia, headed by Bugsy Siegel. Now, there was a lot of killing going on and everything, so they had a meeting. He was smart. Bugsy wanted to get out. Bugsy wanted to get legitimate in a way. He was tired of the bullshit. So he called a meeting, and I forgot who he called a meeting with, and I don't know. Well, he called a meeting with the Italian mobster at the time. I don't know, it was a Gambino family, whatever. Gambino family. But Bugsy, so they made a deal. Bugsy said, I'm going to turn over all my shit to you guys. The drugs, the prostitution, the racketeering, the cigarette business. I'm turning it all over to you guys. I'm turning it over to the Italian mob. And they looked at him and they go, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to go to this desert called Las Vegas. Now, at that time, Las Vegas was nothing but desert, nothing but desert, just dirt. He may have had a house on there or a trailer park, whatever. But Bugsy Siegel had a good idea. He wanted to turn Las Vegas into one of the entertainment capitals of the world. So he made a deal. You guys do not come into Vegas with your shit, with your bullshit. Stay away from Vegas. Let me have Vegas. So the Italian, again, I don't know what family, I'm thinking it's Gambino. I think Lucky Luciano was in on that meeting, I'm not quite sure. By the way, Lucky Luciano, did you know that Lucky Luciano worked for the CIA? Did you guys know that? And Lucky Luciano was a hitman for the FBI? Did you know that? Pat, do you know who Lucky Luciano was?
I'm not sure I've ever met him, but...
Lucky Luciano was another big mafioso guy way back in the day. Al Capone. Have you heard of Al Capone?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
well, he's one of those...
the 30s and 40s.
Right in the 40s. So Lucky Luciano was one of those guys, and he was tough shit. He was a badass. And so they said, deal. Deal. And they started laughing at Bugsy Siegel. They're laughing at him. You go, this fucking guy. You know, I can't do mafia, but I'm going to try my best. This fucking guy. He wants the dirt. He wants the desert. Let him have the desert. That fucking guy gave up every fucking thing. Well, Bugsy Siegel made Vegas. He started building hotels in Vegas. The rest is history. You already know that what's going on, what's coming on. Entertainment in Vegas, it was bumping. It was really happening, and everybody wanted to go to Vegas. Well, the Italian mob did not like that at all, and they wanted to move in. And Bugsy said, we had a fucking deal. And they go, what fucking deal? Benjamin Bugsy Siegel, he developed the Las Vegas Strip, but he was gunned down in 1947. Guess who killed him? Guess who killed Bugsy?
One of the others.
Yes, you are correct. One of the others. And I can't get the thing because it's blocking my thing. And it's blocking my thing. Anyway, we'll find out. Let me see who killed Bugsy. I got to find out who killed Bugsy. I know he was gunned down, but I wonder who killed him. What family killed Bugsy? Are you curious who killed him? I'm curious. I'm thinking it's be the Gambino family. I'm not quite sure. Okay. Oh, it should be Christmas music. Come on, who killed him? Who killed Bugsy? Who do you think? I can't ask you, but who killed? I want to know. Where was he killed at? He was shot dead by a sniper through the window of Hills Linden Drive Mansion in Beverly Hills, California. Bugsy was living in Beverly Hills. Crime does pay.
Oh, it does.
Yeah. He was shot and killed at his mistress, Virginia Hills, home in Beverly, California. Wow. Wow. By a sniper. I've been on Linden Drive many times. It says Siegel was killed on June 20th, 1947. That was the Mr. Solution was about 15 at the time. And he was killed on June 20th, 1947. He still stands today. Siegel was sitting on a couch inside the set of a window at the bottom. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Oh, there's. Now you decide to talk, Fred, Mr. Fred. Okay, let's see if he minds me.
Yeah.
Cue the cat. Cue the cat.
No.
You son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. Wow.
Oh,
there
he
goes. Thank you, Fred. There he goes. One more time, Fred. Thank you. Thank you. Let's see if he does this. Sammy the Bull Gavano is what, Fred? Fred? And as we last talked to Fred, he's in a witness. Yeah, he's in a witness protection program. I'm not going there. I'm a cat. I am a cat, and I know better. That's Sammy the Bull, fucker. I'm not going to say shit. Benjamin Bugsy Siegel was shot dead by a sniper through a window of his mistress in Virginia Hills Mansion in Beverly Hills, California on June 20th, 1947. The mansion is located on North Linden Drive and is currently listed for sale for $16 million. $16 million. Wow. Would you buy that mansion knowing that Bugsy Siegel was there and he was shot through the window? I kind of would if I had the money with you.
Why not?
I would take that mansion and turn it into an Airbnb. How's that? I would do that. I would take it and turn it. I don't know if you can have an Airbnb in Beverly Hills, so. But I kind of do it on the down low. Like Mr. Solution on the down low. You know what a down low is? You know what a down low is, Pat?
I think that's when you're doing gay stuff behind everybody's back.
You said it, is not it? Me, Pat. When you're doing gay stuff. That's right. You're doing gay stuff and you're keeping it kind of, you know, quiet. Even though your butt's bleeding and you're yelling for help and tears are coming down of your eyes of gay stuff. All right, let's get back to Sammy because we can get to our main story. He's almost done. But are you surprised? I am surprised that Sammy the Bull Gavano, I mean, my God, he turned into Sammy the Kitty Cat. Cue the Fred, Mr. Fred, Sammy the Kitty Cat, Mr. Fred. I'm done. I just eaten, and I'm going to lay down on my back, and I'm going to sleep. I'm done. Do not wake me up.
No,
well,
he's watching John do something. He's watching John,
he is.
Says.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
He should be listening to the radio for his cue. That's what he should be doing. All right, here we go. Let's see if we can get something. See if we can get something more dangerous with Sammy.
She was turned around with the unions and the different from donations to politicians. No?
Really, Fred? Seriously? It's not the time, Fred. Fred. He's mocking me. He's mocking me and mocking me. All right, let's go back to Sammy.
Money under the table. It's an actual donation. They made laws that were horrible for the people. I'll give you an example. They had the car business, so they passed a law that everybody who works 15, 18 years gets a retirement thing. And that was good. It was passed and it went through. The only thing is that people who went to work there at 23 years old, they were retiring at 43. That we're paying them forever.
Right.
Now, if you look at the statistics, most of the cars, about a third of the car, is paid in to people who don't even work there no more.
Right.
So if a $30,000 car, if you could find one for $30,000, $10,000 is going to people who aren't even working there, and the $20,000 is for the car, the material, and people who are working there. So we're paying a fortune.
Yeah, I always have this thought. If you ever know,
it's called the retirement plan, Mr. Bull. That's what we do in America. And it's called the retirement because they put in the time. That's what they do. And now you're against retirement because the people are no longer working there. They should not get paid. All the years that they put in there and making that company profitable. What's next, Mr. Bull? You want to take away their Social Security? Why are we paying them? They're useless. Why are they getting Social Security? It's useless. They're not doing nothing. What is he? I mean, this guy is Donald Trump. That's what he is. This is Donald Trump. Or Donald Trump is him. Abortion, dogs. I mean, what other things you want to do? I forgot the other stuff that he was upset about. All right, he's getting tough now.
Someone, I have a cousin that's like married to a fireman, and then you see him at Thanksgiving, you know, and you go like, what are you doing? And the guy's like 47. He's like, I'm thinking of retiring next year because I can get full benefits for the rest of my life. And I'm like, I've never even danced for half a step with the notion of retiring. It's like, I got to get out and earn every single day. This guy's 10 years younger than me, and he's talking about full benefits and full pay. And by the way, doing another job.
Yes, of course.
Like, I'm just going to get into construction. Right. You know, yes, there is a thing that we think, like, what's wrong with taking care? Like, we do this all the time. We go, like, don't these people deserve to be taken care of? Look around. Look in this building. Who amongst us is guaranteed to be taken care of for the rest of our lives? Kind of.
And we're paying them forever.
But bakeries, Pierre, has the mafia made any businesses better? In the sense that I have an agent, you have an agent, you know, they
for the people. I'll give you an example. They had the car business.
Okay. Let's see. Let's see if we get even better.
He's dead, drunk. So this guy's, all right, stop playing cards. Come on, let's go. They go in the bar, they bring him in. They strip him, they hang him in the shower. Cut his throat, cut his everything
open. Okay, now we're getting to the meat of potatoes. Now we're getting to the meat of potatoes. They shoot him, they strip him, they hang him in the curtain. Now it's curtain for you, see? Yeah, see, it's curtain for you. Now I know what, you know, in these old movies, Pat, you know these old movies where they say, yeah, see, it's curtains for you. I never understood what curtains were. Why would you say curtains? Why is he mad at the guy? Why is he going to buy him some curtains? He's going shopping and buying some curtains. Yeah.
There's other things you can use shower curtains for, honey.
Oh, my God. You and your sexual toys. Way to go, Mittens. All right. Well, we can't use these curtains. Mittens been rolling around in them. You know, I'm going to do that, Pat. I'm going to oil myself up. I'm going to slide. I'm going to take the shower curtain off my thing. And I'm going to roll around with my girl in the shower curtain. Watch me do it wrong. We smother each other because we can't breathe. We roll each other, and they're going to find us dead because this asshole decided to do something that he shouldn't be doing. But I never thought, you know, it meant curtains for you. And then I realized what Sammy just said. Curtains. Because they shoot the guy and they roll him up and they have to put the curtain down so the blood doesn't get everywhere. That's why they say it's curtains for you. Yeah, Sammy, it's curtains for you. I never knew that. Wow. You learn something every day. Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
All right, let's see. Yeah, I never knew that's what it meant. Okay, here we go. She's explaining killing people. Hold on. This is what we came for. Okay, here's the goods.
Oh, probably. I went to him and told him that Paul was looking for guys to become made guys. And I had some guys that I was going to propose. I said, you got a lot of good guys around. You're going to propose people? He said, yeah, maybe. He says, all my guys are good. I said, yeah. I said, they did work and all. Yeah. He said, Sammy, the coffee boy killed 20 people with me. What? The coffee boy.
Coffee boy?
Coffee boy? The coffee boy? That's some badass coffee. Wow. Wow. I wouldn't want to go in the break room with that dude. You like my coffee?
Brian, I used to hang around those guys.
You used to hang around mafiosos?
Oh, yeah.
No, are you serious? Really? I didn't know they had mafia. I didn't know they had mafia in Canada. It was like, I thought they had just the Royal Mounted Police. They had Canadian mafia, eh? Wow.
Mm. Well, because the border, honey. Niagara Falls is the border.
That's why you got the nickname Mittens. You were tough on the mob. Yeah. That's your mafia name. That's your mafia. Yeah. See, don't let Mittens get a hold of this. Mittens not gonna like that. See, you'll be the end of you. It'll be curtains if Mittens finds out. Be curtains. Wow. So tell me, how did you get involved with the mob? How did that happen?
I don't know, but they were pretty good lovers.
What?
Yeah.
You're the only one that I know that screwed the mob. You and Liv. You screwed the mob and Liv. That's how badass you are. Hey, do you get a piece of that, Mittens? Oh, yeah, I broke a little piece of that Kit Kat. Mm. Wow.
I tell you a story, but it might get me in trouble, so I won't do it.
All right. I don't want you in trouble because I need you on the air, but you can tell me later. You know what I'm talking about, Mittens? Yeah. I want you to get into my speaking.
Yeah,
after the show. After the show, you dame, you broad. Look at you, you broad. All right, Dave. Wow, Mittens has a story. Okay, here we go. Cue the cat, Mr. Fred. Mr. Fred? You son
Well, he
of
did
a...
for a minute there.
He did, that's it. He doesn't work well with humans. I don't work well with humans, all right? I'm a cat. Where's my master, John? He'll pet me, and I'll arch my back, and he'll pet me on the back. That's all I want, approval from him. Here we go. We're almost done.
That killed over 200 people. 200 people. Who the fuck is
it? What happened to you?
Pat.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Pat?
Now I can.
Can you hear me? Okay, because I was cussing him. He muted me. But can you imagine that job? Did you hear the job? I hope I got it right. He killed over 200 people. He's a coffee boy. Can you imagine that application? Hey, Benny No Nose. Yeah, that's your real name? Yeah. It says here you killed 200 people and you know how to make coffee. What the fuck you talking about? Yeah, that's right. I even killed Mr. Folgers. Killed that bitch too, Mrs. Folgers. Raped her. You're hired. You're hired. Wow. Here we go.
I'll just go kill people. You
got to
get permission from the boss and everything. He wasn't asking permission from the boss. His uncle worked in a bar. This is all documented stuff now because people cooperated around him and everything. And His uncle at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, would call up. There's a guy here. Nobody's here. He's drunk. He tells his guys, all right, stop playing cards. Come on, let's go. They go in the bar. They bring him in. They shoot him. They strip him. They hang him in the shower, cut his throat, cut his everything open so they bleed him out so they don't have to make a mess.
Mm.
Trap him up and get rid of the body and continue playing cards.
Because he wouldn't leave the bar.
No, there's no reason. He told me, he said, Sammy, because I told him the guy didn't do anything. It's just the guy in the bar. He said, yeah. So I said, bro, that's fucking wild. Why would you do that? He said, Sammy, you got to keep them sharp. You know what I mean? Now, tough guy or no tough guy, I said, yeah. I know what you mean. I do the same thing, which I didn't, but I'm not going to let him know. And I said, oh, this fucking guy is completely gone. This is a serial killer.
Right.
And it was known by a lot of guys. John Gotti knew it. Frank Chico knew it. Paul got to know it. And we killed him. Listen, we would kill a serial killer or a rapist or a child molester in a...
Well, there you go.
They got morals. They would kill a serial killer. They would kill a rapist. They let the drug dealer in. Come on. I mean, is that anything to be proud of, really? We killed him. We killed him because he was killing people. Rapists, we killed too. Cue the cat, Mr. Fred.
Yeah.
Mr. Fred.
No, he's not going to do it for you.
He's a union cat. He's a union cat.
No, he's just himself, honey.
Maybe he's a French-Canadian cat.
No. Wouldn't be living here.
Wow. All right. Let's finish this up. Wow. So he's a moral guy. Let's hear what he did. Wow.
So did you hear what he told me about killing the people? Yeah. He says, yeah, I heard. I said, we got to pay attention to this, bro. Who the fuck? We're talking about bringing cars to Kuwait, making money,
selling
cars. He's thinking about killing these people. Old people, when we meet with him, when we make any appointments, let's get on guard. This guy lost it. That's what he's fantasizing about. So while we're talking about cars, he wasn't even paying attention to cars no more. And sure enough, he begins.
Yeah. Yeah. When did Sammy DeBull use words like bro? Next thing you know, he'll be using words like dude. Fucking dude. Listen, bro. Bro, what happened, bro? Now listen, this fucking guy. We're talking about cars. He's talking about killing people. We're gonna have to kill him. That's wrong, right, bro? Bro, hey, wow. Probably beside herself and thinking, no, Sammy did not say bro. Yeah, he did. He said bro. Wow.
That got him not to live.
He was a bully. He was really ready to hurt you all the time. He's not a good guy. He was one of them vicious guys. He was a bully. And he was there to hurt you all the time.
Yeah, they got their code. They got the mafioso code. I mean, if you're a bully, we're going to kill you. That's it. We will not tolerate bullying. Right, bro? You're a bad dude, bro. Dude. Fucking dude.
It sounds about right.
I know.
So, who's going to talk to him? He wasn't like because of those reasons. So if he's going to be there and he's Paul's right-hand man, fuck it. He goes to him.
Yeah, it's weird. Sort of like any job. it's so much easier to fire a shithead than it is
a nice person. Absolutely.
You cut them so much more leeway and slack, you know. And I guess the mafia is that way, too. Like, if you're just personable.
Right.
You bring donuts to the mob meeting every time. You're just going
to
be
like to work with
people
you.
Will not want to whack you.
I love donuts. I never thought of that. But mm-hmm. that would work.
That would work for you. Let me ask you a question. What is the ratio, and is there like, a turning point? I mean,
coming from China and India.
Yeah. No, not only that, but, I mean, they have a whole semi-trucks with 50 people who just perished in the most. I've got a podcast called Our Thing, Season 5, are for certain.
I don't have time for that.
Certain people.
All right. I lost him.
Even though my family drunk and high, we're the only people on the planet.
For them, I know. But I knew their positions. Mm-hmm. Some of them were captains, and some of them were bad guys. They asked if I liked them, and I said yes. And all of some rules of goes in Austria that would be explained later.
Let me see.
Vegas started with us.
No, I didn't.
A woman to death for not wearing her hijab correctly.
Yes.
10,000 is going to people who are not even working there. I said, if I was here to kill you, would you be dead? Absolutely. And I closed my jacket. I said, I'm not here for that. Your argument, you got to go.
How many times with the boss?
So like the cop, the fireman, the school teacher, you go, yeah, you need to be taken care of. But then I look around, I see the guy working at Trader Joe's, and the person, single mom, doing comedy. He's like, where's your attention? Where's your taking care of you?
I think it's good that they get a retirement, but not full pay. Get a retirement pay, 40%, 30% or something. But see, they pass these laws.
No, well, listen, I talked to a guy who sold private airplanes.
Not here for that. I'm here to save myself and Joe Watts and a few people. And Joe Watts said, if we take out Joey Bellotti now, we can take over Staten Island.
Right.
The kinds of Uber drivers. There is the desperate
guy. I have Adam's ticket.
Oh.
Really? Do you need help?
Oh.
All right.
So if I got your ticket, you know, because I don't want to say on the phone that I got Adam's hit.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of bugs on these phones. So you would say something, I got a ticket.
Right.
How much negotiation, like if somebody says, hey,
I never, you know, I like Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla used to have a show, a radio show. He was one of the top guys in the morning, you know, on the radio. Adam Carolla. He's also a comedian. But listening to Sammy the Bull and then listening to Adam with that nasally, it drives me crazy. His voice drives me crazy. I mean, am I the only one? Do you feel the same way, Patricia? I mean, his voice.
A little bit, yeah.
It's kind of too nasally for me. Okay.
Of it is litigation. You could imagine all the cases and all the litigations and all the whatever. It's like you are paying. It's getting all tacked on to the price of this car or the price of the plane. Like it's all lawyers, insurance, government, blah, blah, blah.
Everything gets piled on.
So, Sammy, I think we talked last time you were here about some of the hits. Are we calling them hits you've done over the years?
You could.
Do they say the word hit, or how would they say
it? Yeah. Well, I mean, you say a lot of things. I got your ticket.
Oh.
Your ticket means if I'm talking to another mob guy, I'd have Adam's ticket.
Oh.
Really? Do you need help?
Oh.
All right.
So if I got your ticket, you know, because I don't want to say on the phone that I got Adam's hit.
Right.
You know. There's a lot of bugs on these phones. So you would say something, I got a ticket.
Right.
How much negotiation, like if somebody says, hey, we're going to give you Adam's ticket, how much wiggle room is there for you to go, yeah, you know, he's not that bad a dude? Or...
Yeah, how much...
There's plenty of room. In other words, I've done that a ton of times. In other words, it's... We don't need to do that. There's no need to that. It depends on the situation. It depends what rule you broke, and it depends on the boss. The boss's word is gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So I could present myself to the boss and say, listen, I know the guy a lot of years. He made this mistake. We could talk to him. We could do this. We could do that. We could chase him. Get the fuck out of New York and never come back. We could do a lot of things. But if
Fred,
the boss don't want to hear, you got to go.
Yes, Pat. Did you say something?
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm not. He says I had to sell, and I had to put the cell to the speaker. I can't hear a conversation. No, it's okay, kiddo. I just thought you were trying to get my attention. We're almost done with him. We're almost done. This is getting interesting. We're almost done. Here we go.
Another shot, or he can leave.
It happened a lot. When we killed Paul Castellano with Tommy Bellotti, I sat in a room with Frank and Chico, was still alive, John Gotti, myself, and Joe Watts, and a few people. And Joe Watts said, if we take out Joey Bellotti now, we could take over Staten Island.
Right.
And I had said, that's what we're going to do now? We're going to kill people over money. And Frankie said, what do you think, Sammy? I think he's a tough guy. But I think he understands the life. His brother was with Paul. His brother was a dick. And he had to go. I think we should give him a chance. And Frank and Chico agreed with me. And John said, well, who's going to go sit with him? I said, I'll go sit with him. And I was the captain right after the hit. And I can put him with me. If he strikes out, he's going to take a captain out. I'll put him with me. And Frankie says, I'll go with Sammy and talk with him. And we saved him. He died of old age.
Wow.
So I saved him. I sat with him. When I met with him in a diner, Frankie Chico was with me. I said, Frank, Joey, how long have you known me? A lot of years, Sammy. I opened my jacket. There was a gun. I said, if I was here, kill you. Would you be dead? Absolutely. And I closed my jacket. I said, I'm not here for that. I'm here to save you. What happened with your brother happened with your brother. Your brother's got caught a bunch of kids. You got a bunch of kids. You got your kids, your nieces, your nephews to take care of. You've been a good man. You understand God's emotional. You understand what your brother did. You can live. You'll be under me. Frankie told him that's exactly why I'm here, because Sammy talked to you. And he lived.
What did his brother do that got him not to live?
He was a bully. He was really ready to hurt you all the time. He was not a good guy. He was one of them vicious guys. He was a bully. And he was there to hurt you all the time. So who's going to talk to him? He wasn't liked because of those reasons. So if he's going to be there and he's Paul's right-hand man, fuck it. He goes to him.
Yeah, it's weird. Sort of like any job. It's so much easier to fire a shithead than it is
right.
A nice
yes,
person.
Absolutely.
You cut him so much more
right.
Leeway and slack. You know?
Right.
And I guess the mafia is that way, too. Like, you're just... personable.
Right.
You bring donuts to the mob meeting every
yeah.
time. It's just going
to
be.
Like to work with
people
you.
Will not want to whack you.
No, I love donuts. I never thought of that, but I would work with
you. That would work for you. Let me ask you a question. What is the ratio, and is there like a turning point? I mean, between the good guys and the ones that like either get a taste of the power or the taste of the killing, and they just become like serial killers. They just become vicious. Like, what is the ratio? How often did that happen?
It's a small ratio. Roy DeMeo, Gas Pipe, everything got like that.
Right.
We don't deal with that. Roy DeMeo was killed because of that.
Mm-hmm.
He crossed that line. It's not a hit. It's not a, he was killing
right.
people for nothing.
Right.
And I remember going to...
And that's
to
a big liability, right?
Oh, a tremendous liability. And I'll give you the... I went to a meeting one time. We were talking about stealing cars and delivering them to Kuwait. He was there with his captain. I was an acting captain. Louis Molito was my guy. We sat down, we talked, and he would drift away. We had a back room where there was all retired people sitting down, and he drifted away, was looking at the people. So I told him, right, this is starting to bore you, this conversation. No, no, Sammy, what's the matter? No, I don't know. You're watching over there. We're talking here. And he said, look at these people. We have about 30 people, maybe a little less. I think the youngest person may have been 60. The oldest one was 90. And he said, if I had 9 millimeters, I could kill all of these fucking people before you can blink your eyelash. Oh, my God. And I said, wow. Most of them would have a heart attack as soon as you start shooting. So I says, all right. And I said, you know, so let's wind this up, the meeting. We wound it up, and I was walking out with Louis Molito. I said, you hear what he told me about killing the people? Yeah. He says, yeah, I heard. I said, we got to pay attention to this, bro. Who the fuck? We're talking about bringing cars to Kuwait, making money,
right,
stealing cars. He's thinking about killing these people, old people. Bro, when we meet with him, when we make any appointments, let's get on guard. This guy lost it. That's what he's fantasizing about, bro, while we're talking about cars. He wasn't even paying attention to cars no more. And sure enough, he became a serial killer, killed tons of people. And this is why he got killed.
And we're going to eliminate serial killer. By the way, just so you know, when people are talking about old people, I'm thinking about cars. So I have the wiring you need for these kinds of discussions.
You said cars. Adam checked out of the rest of that story. We get back to the cars.
When you say serial killer, do you mean serial killer within the mob, or we're going outside?
No, outside.
Not outside or not?
Listen, I had another conversation with him. I went down to his club.
How many people do you think he killed?
200.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah, I believe he killed 200 people.
So
I
he's
went
the most
him,
prolific okay. serial killer ever.
Oh, probably. I went to him and told him that Paul was looking for guys to become main guys. And I had some guys that I was going to propose. I said, you got a lot of good guys around. You're going to propose people? He said, yeah, maybe. He says, told my guys. I'm good. I said, yeah. I said, they did work and all. Yeah. He said, Sammy, the coffee boy killed 20 people with me. What? The coffee boy. He said, I killed over 200 people. I said, 200 people? Who the fuck is giving you this work? You're a head guy. Who's giving you this? Because you're not allowed to just go kill people. You got to get permission from the boss and everything. He wasn't asking permission from the boss. His uncle worked in a bar. This is all documented stuff now because people cooperated around him and everything. His uncle at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, would call up. There's a guy here. Nobody's here. He's drunk. He tells his guys, all right, stop playing cards. Come on, let's go. They go in the bar. They bring him in. They shoot him. They strip him. They hang him in the shower, cut his throat, cut his everything open so they bleed him out. So they don't have to make a mess. Chop them up and get rid of the body and continue playing cards.
Because you wouldn't leave the bar.
No, there's no reason. He told me, he said, Sammy, because I told him, the guy didn't do anything. It's just the guy in the bar. He said, yeah. So I said, Bill, that's fucking wild. Why would you do that? He said, Sammy, you got to keep them sharp. You know what I mean? Now, tough guy and no tough guy. I said, yeah. I know what you mean. I do the same thing, which I didn't, but I'm not going to let him know. And, this fucking guy is completely gone. This is a serial killer. And it was known by a lot of guys. John Gotti knew it. Frank and Chico knew it. Paul got to know it. And we killed him. Listen, we would kill a serial killer or a rapist or a child molester in our neighborhood. Because it's our neighborhood. Even though I don't know you, you're a person in my neighborhood. This neighborhood belongs to me. You belong to me. I don't want you touched. I don't want you raped. Could be you. Could be my daughter. It could be my cousin. It could be my niece. It could be something. So we don't want this guy in our neighborhood. there was that guy, the Son of Sam, a long time ago, shooting couples in the car, making love. It was, and the mob actually started working with the cops to hunt them down. And that's a true story, too. So we don't want that in our neighborhood. I mean, people who came in our neighborhood, they weren't afraid of us because they would give the answer. Yeah, they kill. They kill each other when they break rules. But to us, we're safe.
What would you, how did you go about killing this guy?
Who?
The serial killer.
Roy DeMeo?
Roy DeMeo.
I wasn't involved in the murder. Frankie DeChico called me one day and he says, "Harry, I got Roy's ticket." I said, "I'll meet you in a little bit." And I said, "Bro, the whole fucking crew is out of their minds. They're all dangerous, the whole crew. They're all sick. You need help?" He said, "No, I got this covered." Paul had to give him the contract to John Gotti. John Gotti heard he had the contract. It was obvious he was nervous about it. Paul withdrew the contract from him and gave it to Frankie DeChico. Frankie DeChico went and grabbed his two guys. They called them the twins. And said, "All these are going to die. I can get you two guys a pass. Yous kill them. You two guys kill him."
Oh, so his own crew.
His own crew. The two top guys he had killed him. And they got a pass. Frankie and Paul lived to their word. But we transferred them the fuck out of the family. We gave them to the Lucchese family, to Gaspipe, another half a psycho. We got rid of them. We didn't kill them, but we got rid of them.
His partially frozen body was found in the trunk of his car. The chandelier on top of it, so says the internet. So this guy was killing civilians. He'd just kill anybody.
Anybody.
Oh, God.
And they think they got to 200.
That was his words to me. Now, I don't know for a fact, but believe me, I took his word because that's what they were doing in that bar. That, and guys in that crew who cooperated later said, said this. So this is a factual thing. It gave names and people. I don't know if the number reached 200, but that's what he told me. But I know he was completely gone. I know he killed. There was a thing about a guy, a salesman, was coming to his house. He saw him, and he went and grabbed a gun. He thought, I don't know what he thought. The guy went backwards and went to the car, opened up the trunk, and got something out of the trunk. When it came up to his house, he killed him. It wound up being, he was probably paranoid. It wound up being a salesman. He went back to his trunk to get some whatever the fuck he was selling.
A vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
You could say vacuum cleaner. It wasn't a thing, but it was a box or something. And he gets killed.
Oh, my God.
So this is, he was just completely off the wall.
He was fantasizing about killing, like, 30 men right there. I mean, that's, yeah.
30 old people.
Can I ask you a question? I mean, we were talking a little bit about this before, about the emotional support dog, but, okay, what was your level of stress when you were deep in it? I can't, just reading about your life, which is incredibly interesting, gives me anxiety. How was it, like, every day when you wake up? Were you just like, today could be my last, like, did you feel that stress day in and day out? Never thought about it.
I thought about it. I thought when I was a little younger and I got into the mafia and I started doing things, I said, I'm not going to live to 40. Either I'm going to go to prison for life or I'm going to die. And I just lost fear. I just didn't even enter my mind anymore. It was like an everyday thing. I lived my life in the mafia. I did a lot of things, ran unions, I did construction. I just didn't wake up. I didn't want to kill somebody every morning or do anything.
Right.
And when I got ordered to do something, I did it. I did it very effectively. I wound up being a top-notch hit guy. That's why I have so many, because I was used for it. I didn't pull the trigger all the time. Uh-huh. I planned these things. My planning, I was in three mafia wars. So in the Colombo family in the mafia war. I was in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, that mafia war. And then the one with Paul. The Paul one is my planning. I sat in the car with John Gotti, was my driver. And I had the walkie-talkie. talking to the head guys, the shooters. That was my plan.
Yeah, backup shooters.
Oh, absolutely. I was as well. I had a 357 Magnum and the walkie-talkie. So when I planned this with Frankie DiCicco and myself and John Gotti, and John Gotti says, it's crazy. It's 5:30 at night in Manhattan. There's 50 million cops and people all over the place. So I said, I think that'll work in our favor. Frank and Chico said, hey, John, this is your fucking problem. We're coming to help you. If you don't want to do it, then me and Sammy are out. You do it by yourself. And he said, no, we'll do it. And I thought of that. The confusion, Manhattan, shoulder to shoulder, 5:30 at night right before Christmas, people are coming down.
How many people?
To come down and meet the people coming out of work, going to to see the Christmas tree or shopping or go to Broadway plays or whatever they're doing. So it was overpacked. And I knew that something like that, cops were mostly on the corners. There was no place to park. Spark Steakhouse had the front. You couldn't park, so you would put your car in there. A guy would take it and go park it. So that's the only place they could stay. So we knew where he was going to be, where the car was going to be. And I planted the people right around. There was 11 guys on that hit. And I said, as soon as the shooting starts, there's going to be such confusion, people running, ducking, screaming. Nobody's going to know what the hell is going on. John, again, wasn't happy with it, but Frankie said, that's the plan. We were planning this for quite a while. We couldn't get the rights. And it worked to a T. The cops, when I cooperated, I was talking with the agents, they said a cop actually witnessed it off duty. And they asked him, why didn't you go for your service revolver? He said, the way it was came down so instant, so fast, it was so well planned. I knew there had to be backup shooters. I wasn't taking out a fucking gun. I knew that something was wrong. And they asked him about it. When I cooperated and I was with them, I said, listen, the guy wasn't wrong. Well, he may have been about 75 feet, because I asked, where was he? I said, he was about 75 feet in front of me. I said, he was right. I was also a backup shooter. Once the shooting stopped, I put the thing down. I would have jumped out of the car and never killed him.
Right.
So I'm telling you, the guy was right. He made a smart move. By Matt, and it was so well planned. He couldn't stop it. He couldn't do anything. And it happened so quick. And there was such a flow of people running in every which direction.
How quick? When you say how quick was it from the beginning to end?
If somebody threw a shot in this room right now, boom, 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 right now, that quick. The whole three of us.
Seconds.
Seconds. Not even, it's a split second. We all three of us would react. Oh, my God. We would react to it. We would duck or look, this and that. We're not paying attention where to shot and who's shooting.
Right.
We're paying attention to get the fuck away from something that's going on. Excuse my language.
That's all right. So it's kind of interesting in that I think people think we should do it on a dark, quiet street.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhere, but the chaos factor.
Well, there you go.
So they wanted you.
So my wife got me this weird new kitchen knife, Christmas gift. God, I love her. At first,
at night after we got done talking, we ate, and a couple of them went to bed. So he comes home and he says, me and you, we're going to have a very close relationship. We're going to have secrets. Really. I thought I'm cooperating. I'm telling the truth. What secrets am I going to have? No, just between me and you. I told him, are you gay?
I just was going to say that.
What kind of fucking secrets? He said, no, I'm not gay, Sammy. Then what kind of secrets am I going to have, bro? I mean, I'm here cooperating. I told it all. There's no secrets. He's playing good guy, bad guy, cop with me, so it's a fucking childish game. And the next day, they got rid of him. I never saw him again.
Really?
They got rid of him. And there was one agent who wrote up some, I know, I told the story, and then he wrote it up. They called it a 302. And they took it to me, and they said, Sammy, read this. I read it. And I said, where'd you get this from? It's the story of this hit. Whoever's telling you this is lying, bro. I'm telling you, I just told you the story. That's a lie. They called the guy in. They said, that's what you told us. And I said, bro, I didn't tell you that. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I didn't tell you that. The prosecutor came in and said, he took the paper, read it, and said, I heard him tell him the story. What the fuck did you write here? And he ripped it up and threw it away. And said, from here on out, write a brief, because it was 2 pages long, write a brief story. Because if Sammy's on the stand, he's not going to go with this. He'll say, this is bullshit. The lawyer will say, well, the FBI guy did it. Well, then he's lying. I don't know who the fuck is lying, but I did not say this. That's what I will say in court.
So your experience with the FBI is they were straight up.
Straight up.
And recently, they seem to be a little bit politicized, I would say.
A little bit?
A little bit. Yeah.
You're being kind.
Yeah, which is kind of weird territory to be in, to have them rooting for one side or the other and affecting elections and outcomes and things like that. I mean, it's like, it's not a conspiracy theory.
Embarrassed to tell people that I'm an ex-FBI agent. Good. I'm glad you feel that way. I knew you would.
It almost kind of reminds me of the arc of the...
And I'm a guy, call me whatever you want to call me, but I'm a guy, a criminal my whole life. I've never seen things like this. I mean, I've been involved in some good things, some bad things, and some ugly things. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And I worry about my grandchildren and people's kids. You know, all my kids. What kind of a future are we going to leave? I would tell people like us, I would say, when you have grandchildren, they're going to turn to you someday. They're going to say, Grandma, where the fuck were you in those years? Why didn't you say something? Why did you do something? You were around. Did you do anything? Or did you allow it?
I didn't want to be kicked off of Twitter.
I was on the Adam Carolla show.
I know. That's the other problem. If you say something, you're liable to get kicked off. And,
well, that's the scary part of the equation.
I'm on social media as well. I'm talking now. But I'm afraid of saying certain things, how I feel, because I'll get kicked off.
It is interesting to...
Sammy the Bull, Gravano, is afraid to say something on social media because he's going to get kicked off. He's afraid of getting kicked off Twitter. That's what he's afraid of. He's afraid to say something on Facebook because he'll get kicked off.
I think he's afraid of getting knocked off, too.
Probably. That's what I would be afraid of. You know, it's funny. It's like I mentioned a friend. And that's all we're going to play there. Let me see if I get the end of that. Let me see if I get the end of it. We're almost at the end. Let's see what he has to say.
Getting an insight to the FBI through the eyes of a criminal who had to spend more time with the FBI than many, many, many that came before him. Or anyone else, but it in a way it's almost more insightful to see, or more informational to kind of see how they conducted themselves and how they operated from your perspective,
right,
versus a guy who worked for the FBI and was just in the corner office all week.
Right. I mean, when I was there, they were honorable people. I got to say the truth. Like, there was one or two I didn't like. And I didn't trust them. But overall, like I said, I mean, I cooperated in 1991. This is 2022, almost 2023. I'm still friends with them. It's amazing how some of them I became friends with they'll wish me Merry Christmas. I wish them Merry Christmas, birthdays, we talk. And we talk about just bullshit like this, about what's going on with the FBI now. I've talked to some news people. I know a lot of news people now. I know this woman, and I know her for a lot of years now. And I said, you went to college, and you did great. And you became a news reporter. You're on TV. Well, behind the scenes, you're not an anchor, but you're behind the scenes, and you're becoming a heavyweight in the business. Yeah. You went out when you went to college and all to cure the world, to investigate, to find out the truth, to hold everybody's feet to the fire, right? How do you feel now when they're lying? And you're part of it.
Yeah, it's dumbfounding to me because I think about.
Okay. I have to pass on. He's getting.
So there's 40 million people in California, and you got to figure it's got to be 28, 30 million cars. Where are you going to plug these cars in? You can't even deal with two fucking days of hot weather, and you're going to plug in 30 million fucking cars. How?
You know what?
Tell me how.
I'll
but
tell
wait. Let me finish with this, because I could be the president of the United States.
Yeah,
or the governor. Because I would say, why don't we get the 40 or 50, 60 billion dollars we sent to Ukraine, turn around and say, I'm going to do all the power grids, make them, update them, do this, do that, do something where we can lower the amount of gas. You know those things at Disney where you stand on the car and it just shoots them?
Sammy, it sounds like Sammy's running for office like he's a politician. Now he's talking about saving power, emission fuel. He wants to run for governor or the president. Yeah, can you imagine President Sammy DeBull? Talking about gas emissions. That was it. Let me see. I think that's it. And that's the end of the show. There you go. So I'm trying. The reason I played that long thing is I'm trying to get him on the show. And it's a good possibility. It's a good possibility. And it's going to be interesting. I'm going to, hopefully I can get him. I'm not really too happy with Adam Carolla. Now, Adam Carolla is a big deal. What was he, on Kiss FM or what? No, he was on when I lived in 96.7, big radio deal here in Los Angeles. He's a comedian, big guy, big deal. But he seemed, somehow I'm thinking his voice is very annoying. You know, after listening to Sammy the Bull, and then I hear, it's just to me, it seemed a little annoying. I don't know about, I don't like to watch people interview people because I don't want to fall into that trap of being an imitator, because I'll imitate it because I think they did a good job or a bad job or whatever, learn some tricks. Now, I see everybody in the studio again. And I think there's 912. I think that's Laverne. I'm not quite sure. But there's like 5 111s in the studio. You have to hit number one so you can raise your hand. Then I know you want to talk to her, or else I won't open your mic. I think there's a Laverne, 912. Is it 912? You're live on the air. Is this you, Laverne?
Yes, it is. Hey, Brian and Pat.
There you go. Hey Laverne. How's your holiday?
I'm glad you asked. It was great. And how was yours? Both of yours.
Oh, it was
you
good.
And Pat.
It was good. It was good.
Great.
We don't have that holiday, Laverne.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's in October.
It's in okay, so if it's in October, what y'all... Okay, now we celebrated because of the pilgrims and the Indians and the... settlers. What did y'all, why do y'all celebrate it?
Same reason.
Oh, okay.
It's just earlier. It might be earlier because we're north. I don't know. We apparently started it, so.
Oh, you did?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay, cool.
So how was your how was your day? Very good?
Yes, it was. It and busy all the way up till Thanksgiving Day. It was very busy.
I know. I figured you were with your family, Laverne. I figured you were with your sisters and everything, having a great Thanksgiving. That's what I figured.
Yes, and Brian, I had seen you at call, and I told you I'd call you back. But, baby, I was running around, and when I got in, I was so tired. I'm sorry I didn't call back. Please forgive me.
Nah, that's why I got Stephanie Bull on the show. He'll be giving you a little visit. You know what I'm saying?
I'll be ready for him. I'll be ready.
I love you. Of course, baby. Of course, we heard. We've all been busy during the holiday. I was going to call you after the show today to see how you're doing. I just assumed you were with your family and you're running around and everything, and I was too. I didn't even think twice about it, sweetheart, but I just figured you're with your family. That's all.
Great. And I will be with my family all the way up to Christmas.
Okay, good. Good.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't want you to be alone. I mean, are you having your kids? Are your kids coming down at all during Christmas?
My kids are here. My kids are here.
Oh, they are? Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
They're
they live
boys.
Here. They live in. I'm closer to them now than I with them when I'm at home.
Oh, man, that is so good.
Mm-hmm.
See, it all works out. I mean, you got such a good family. And, you know, I love you to death with Vernie. You know I do.
I know.
Yeah. You know, Pat, when you say something like, I love you, and the other person go, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know.
Oh, I thought you knew. I thought you knew that
I
love you, too.
Yeah, I know. Of course I do. That's what you might like to hear back. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I do. I understand.
I know. I hope you're having a good it's over right now. I got to do some Black Friday stuff.
I ain't thinking about Black Friday. I know. So you're trying to get them sales, huh?
And it's not really sales, but, you know, what do you got to shop anyway, right?
You might think it is a sale.
I do. Oh, boy. Look at that sale. Amazon, last year, I mean, you know, last month it was that price. Shut up, it's a sale. Look at that sale.
No, look at it right here. It says sale, biggest day.
Exactly. It says sale. Gimme. Yeah, it was funny, but I had to go to the dentist, and I still had to get this fixed. And kept it. In California, I have to wait till after January. I got to get fixed. Anyway, I had anxiety, right? So my brother says, why don't you just call the dentist or call your doctor and see if they will prescribe some Xanax or whatever. I go, yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. I don't know if they'll do it. He goes, yeah, try it. So I call. Hey, doc, I got to go to the dentist. He goes, yeah. I got this anxiety. He goes, oh, okay. Can you give me some, I guess it was Xanax. Can you give me some Xanax to calm my ass down? He goes, yeah. Go pick up your prescription. Now, they're like 20 minutes away. Now, 20 minutes in California time means 45 minutes because of traffic. That's how it is. When people say you're 20 minutes away, that means you're 45 minutes away because of traffic. That's just how Californians talk. So they're 20 minutes away. And the time, I'm getting late now. I had to leave within 5 minutes to be on time. I'm standing in line to resolve people. I was thinking about knocking them over. You know, I got to get up front. I was thinking about paying them. I was thinking about horrible things to these senior people who were sick because I needed to get out of there within 5 minutes to get in time for my dentist. Luckily, the line went faster. I did kind of hurry up this guy. I swear he was like 89 years old with a cane. He was walking like 2 feet, you know, and then he would stop and rest. It's like you go 1 foot and you're resting. What the fuck is this? you know, and they call him, and it's like, okay, move. I kind of hit the back of his foot.
Oh, man, man.
Just to move him along a little bit. Come on. Come on, dude. Come on.
Man.
I did. Was I really wrong? Was I bad?
If you had to ask, yes.
I just kind of wanted to move him along. I had 3 minutes, so I kind of shoved the back of his, you know, when you're accidentally like, oops, I got too close, and kind of shuffle him and move him along a little bit. He didn't fall. He did kind of lean forward a little bit more than he wanted to, and then that weight kind of moved him forward. And thank God he didn't fall. So
yeah.
I'm looking at the clock. I got 2 minutes. He's gone. He's gone. Finally got to the lady. And I said, hey, I have a prescription, and, you know, you got it for Jackson. He goes, oh, yeah, man. How are you doing? I mean, enough of how you doing, Mr. Jackson. Just give him. They go, okay. I swear to God, I'm talking to the woman just like this because I got 2 minutes to leave there now. And it's like, she goes, okay, let me ring this up really slow. I go, could you take any more time? She goes, I'm trying to do the best I can. And then she realized what it is. She goes, let me look at this. I go, give me. She goes, oh, you need this. Give me. She gave it in my hand, and I took off. Like I was some main man.
Yeah.
Give me. I needed those.
Mm-hmm.
I was willing to knock off an old man. I needed those. Give me. Drugs.
Don't you, Pat?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It is.
Coming from and Laverne, you know, so you know when we did our porno name, Melissa got Sammy School. That was her porno, but that's her news reporter name too. She goes under that as her news reporter. So we found out that Pat's name was Mittens. Mittens is her porn name. And so that's it. Because of her
first.
And how you get your porn name is that what is your first street that you lived on? And Pat, what was your first street that you lived on?
Portage?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. And the name of your first, your name of your first pet?
Mittens.
There you go. So her porn name would be Mitten Portage. That's her name. That would be her name. You know, she'd be a dancing, and her stripper name is, and ladies and gentlemen, Mitten Portage. Hello, everybody. That would be her form. So that's her name. Mitten.
Just leave it at
so
Mittens.
Mittens. And, but Melissa got a cool name, Sammy School. She got a cool name on that one. What was your porn name, Laverne, what was your first pet? That you got the name of your first pet?
Rusty.
Oh God, this is not gonna go well. Oh boy. And what was the name of your first street that you were on?
I do not remember the first street because I was a baby.
You're a baby. I'm going to call you Rusty Nails. I don't know. Rusty. We have Mittens and Rusty in there. Those are the hot names. But that's cute. But that's how we get them. That's how we get them. My first street was Clark Street. My first pet that I remember was Champ. So I'm Clark Champ or Champ Clark. I think I'm, yeah, Champ Clark. It's almost like Superman. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Solution, and we asked Mr. Solution what was that, and his first name was Bubbles. So Bubbles.
Well, at least man.
Bubble gay.
Me.
I know. Wait a minute! Somebody's raising their hand. Wait, hold on. 1 second. Hello, you're on Brian Hammer Jackson Show. 111, you're live on the air.
How did I come up as a 111?
Oh, you came off of 111, Melissa. That's
yeah.
Bubbles. Now,
that's
you must
weird.
You must.
Cinnamon
you
food.
Must block your phone. You must have your phone blocked.
Not that I know. Excuse me, not that I know of.
I didn't know it was you. You came on at 1:01.
Anyway.
Yes. Melissa.
Busy afternoon here at the Howard Hut.
Oh, I can understand that. I understand.
Oh, my God.
It's Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some shit to do, too. But Melissa, what do you think of the Sammy the Bull story? I mean, I'm telling you, I wrote Melissa, and I knew that Laverne was with her family. And you and I have this thing that when Laverne is with her, I don't know if Laverne knows this, but me and Melissa has this thing where when Laverne's with her sister or her family, we do not disturb that. That's kind of an unwritten rule, right, Melissa? It's true. We don't bother her. Well, I mean, at least me. I think Melissa, so Wilkes, I'll say, no, it's true. I'll say no. She's,
yes, Melissa, it's true.
Her.
I know it's true. That's why I said, well, let me call either one of y'all. Because I know
you
y'all
did.
Do,
yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad you did because we don't, Melissa will tell me, well, she's probably with her sister. I go, okay, then I don't want to disturb her with her sister. So I'll just wait till she gets home. And because I know I can't reach her on Facebook anymore because Laverne doesn't go on Facebook anymore. So normally I would text her and I'll text her with the show coming on. But I didn't, you know, they could be shopping. It's a holiday. They don't need to hear from me. So that's how I felt, Laverne. That is how I felt, out of respect. You know,
oh, I know.
That's just how I felt. So,
but look, man.
Yes.
No, go ahead.
Yes,
you were going to say you were having a discussion. I'll ask you that later.
Oh, no, you can ask me, sweetheart. Can you ask me on the air or do you want to ask me in private? It's okay.
Oh, no, it could be on the air. Have y'all heard of this so-called, no, I'm saying, I'm not saying this is what's happening. I'm just saying this is what rumor has it.
Okay.
Have y'all heard of this new pandemic brewing up?
What is it called?
It's not a name, but they're saying it's like pneumonia. Pneumonia without the coughing.
Really?
Yeah, I've heard.
No, I never heard of that. That's almost like the flu, isn't it? Well, no, the flu you can call. But, no, I never heard of that.
Well, right now it's in China. And they're saying that it's not even no hospital beds left over there.
Wow. Here, let me Google this. It's a new pandemic in China? Let me see. New pandemic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let me check this for you.
But who else said they heard it?
I did.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
I thought it was pets.
There are rumblings about it. Yeah.
Is it really? Let me
mm-hmm.
see here. Oh, you're right. This is according to Right On. Wait a minute. You're going to get, Laverne, you get the news flash here. You're breaking a news story here. I never heard of this. There you go. This is Laverne.
Here.
That's right. This source is coming from Rusty. Rusty in Virginia. That's a news reporter. That's right. Hello, kid. Hello, kid. No, that's not like Sean. Is that Sean?
That's Oliver.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I'm getting them confused. I can't tell them the difference anymore. Hello, big O.
Here. Take this. All right. That's enough. They're eating Pop Rocks.
Oh, no, bad experience. No. I told you about my experience with that. You know, it hurt my testicles. She put them in.
Oh, my
God.
We
had a craze in California that the girls used to put Pop Rocks in your mouth, and you can
guess
what
that's
else
an old. That was all over the country.
Okay, that
that's
was in the country.
Old.
I have been out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. And guess what? I still tremor of Pop Rocks to this day. It was just horrible.
These
here
are
we go.
Kool-Aid flavors.
Yeah, read
really,
the article.
They pop in your mouth. They hurt. I don't know how you can enjoy
it's
that.
It's weird.
I,
I know. They vibrate your whole head.
I know. It hurt. You know, when they popped it in your throat and top roof of your mouth and.
Oh, they love
them. According to Laverne, her reporter name is Rusty. She's out of Virginia. She broke the story. Another COVID-like pandemic coming from China. She broke the story. Wow.
What does the article say, Brian?
Huh?
What does the article say?
Well, it says that Rusty, an H reporter of Brian the Hammer Jackson Show, broke the story about another COVID-like pandemic coming from China. Thank you. That's what it says.
Wow.
It says New Delhi. I guess it's going into New Delhi, too, because is rising cases of respiratory illness in China. Has said that viral infections are common in winter, and there is no possibility of another pandemic like COVID yet. But a notable surge in respiratory illness in children in northern China in recent weeks were reported. I'm trying to get to reports coming from China now show that there has been a sudden increase in respiratory infections between October and November, and they have observed that it's more common in children. They call it mycoplasma. Mycoplasma. There is a word. Google it. They have not seen any new or unusual viruses. There is no indication yet that this is a new organism, and it's difficult to say whether it can cause a pandemic like COVID, but the possibility is there. That is a common virus in the winter season has been in the reports from China. Now, experts have discussed this. According to them, there could be 2 to 3 things due to which it has increased. Firstly, virus infections is more common in the winter. Okay, blah, 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 blah. China, they said, is noting people are very worried because the pandemic has just passed, whether a new virus has arrived. Well, there you go. Dr. Cabra.
But check this out, though, Brian. Okay. The other one, without me naming it, the one that just passed, it started around the same time. What, 3 years ago or 2 years ago? What said? It started.
It was in 2000.
It started.
Yeah.
Huh?
Wasn't it in 2000?
Yeah. It was.
No, 2020.
Okay. The end of December, or the first of January, when they started really getting notarized, when we had cases, I think, starting over here. And they also said that it was most effective in the did they say the winter or the summer? The last one.
Winter.
Okay, and this is winter. It seems like a repeat. And they're telling you stuff that they don't know that it can happen or it can, you know, what it would do. But they also said it the last time, too.
Yep.
Yeah. I remember when Ellen came on the show, she mentioned that there's a pandemic, whatever. And I said, how many people affected? I remember having this conversation with her on the air. She goes, about 20 people. I go, 20 people. Shit, get out of here.
H1N1, they called it. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, get out of here with that. You're being silly. Stop it. And she goes, no, I'm serious. And next thing you know, it was COVID-19. And so what you're saying, Laverne, I agree. You know, I'll never do that again. You're right. It's starting again. And we're always going to have new viruses. This is how it is. Viruses improve. I mean, the cold virus keeps improving to flu, and flu becomes the more blah, 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 blah. Become a respiratory blah, 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 blah. But we're always
going to
have viruses. Yes.
You can get a pneumonia shot
if you're old. It might stop this.
It won't stop it. It won't stop admittance. Oh, but it would. I called you admittance. It won't stop it. What it would do is the hit will not be that bad. Even the COVID shot does not stop the virus. You can still catch it, What they're saying is that it's not going to hit you as bad as it would if you didn't have it. That's what
well,
they
let
really
me tell you this. Let me tell you this, and I'm not saying none of this for fear. I'm saying I'm telling you know people for preparedness, you know, to get ready for if it is true. But they're saying that it's going to be 10 times worse as the other one.
Probably. I believe that. Because they don't, they evolve. Viruses evolve. They grow. They get immune to whatever vaccine that you may have in your system. It attacks your immune system. Yeah. It will get worse.
Yep. And one of the things they're saying, which is you know, how you could prepare yourself, is make sure you get the vitamins that the good vitamins that boost your immune because that's your immune system because that's how a lot of viruses start with lower immune systems. And that's why you got a whole lot of elderly people that's in direct fire, you know, because of their immune system. And they're saying this just like they said with the other one, they putting the babies and the elderly. Saying that it affect, but as they're saying right now, but as time goes, it's going to be everybody to watch.
Yep. There goes another elderly person falling down. There you go. Yeah. Well, because as you get older, your immune system gets weakened, and the babies haven't strengthened up. That's exactly. Now. And I got a touch of a cold myself. And, you know,
here's something else in the news after you finish that.
No, go ahead. I'm listening. You're already, Rusty, you're breaking news stories left and right. Let me give you your little thing.
Okay, now, I don't know how much this was in the news, but a lady in New York saying that they had passed this bill, she said in September, if they think you got any kind of disease or virus or anything, they can come and take you out of your house and put you and isolate you. And they don't have to have no reason really to come. If they come and take you, they really don't even need a reason, but they'll probably give you something, some kind of explanation, which could or could not be true. And she's saying they trying to that's in New York. She's saying they're trying to take it to the appellate court. To overturn that, and but if it don't work, then she says she's moving.
I'm moving. I have a call. I want them to take me away. Oh, they're on their way. Yeah, I know. You know what? I wouldn't put it past it, Laverne, these crazy shit that they're doing. I wouldn't put it past it. And I'm not poo-pooing it either because I think that's a possibility. I wouldn't know how to search for that, to tell you the truth. New
me
law
either.
To get out of your house.
Me either.
But
if that's
I wouldn't doubt
the
it.
Video again, I will send it to you so you can listen to her talk.
Yeah. I just typed the new law taking you away for being sick. Let me see if anything comes up. Let's see if anything comes up that way.
In New York.
It's a new sick day law. The new
right now, it's supposed to only be in New York.
Yeah. No, why are people? No, I just got sick leave. Federal pay sick right now. There's nothing that's going to take you out of your home. I don't have it, but I would have to look under what it would be.
Okay.
Like. But I'm not dismissing it because there's some crazy shit going on, Laverne. You might be, if you heard it, listen to this way. If you heard it, the very least, it could be part right. You know what I mean? The very most, it could be exaggerated. So there may be have some truth in there, and that's where you look up and let's find it, because it's like the one, your new virus in China, I didn't hear about that. So I'm surprised. It looks like it's a new respiratory virus, but I'm not quite sure. But so like I said, it has to have some truth to it for it to be said. I'm just here, like I said, I'm not from this planet. I am not a human. I observe you humans and your behavior, and you Canadians too. And I report to my other planet. And I got a lot to say. And this, with this new iPhone 15, is easier to get back to my phone than ever. Boop, beep, beep, boop, boop, beep, beep, beep. Boop, boop.
He's gone. He's gone, y'all.
Yeah, I am gone. If you leave a message, I left Earth. This is Brian. I'm in my spaceship. Please leave a message. I am gone, and they don't want me there anymore. But I'm here to observe you guys, and I'm thinking you guys are all cuckoo. That's my thing. And I'm here to experiment on you guys sexually. Come here.
Oh, and that's another thing they said. They said they could take you out the house and give you experimental drugs, and there ain't nothing you can do.
Did you hear
that's
Pat?
That's where you get out
of it. Pat just ran out of the house. Here I am, y'all.
No. I'm going to try to find that, Pat, so that Brian, I'm going to send it to Brian, so he can, you know, expound on it more.
I will.
I looked on Google, couldn't find anything.
Okay. Well, like I said,
it wasn't televised, but the lady that lives in New York, she said they did it sneakily in September. So, but like I said, I'll try to find it. And I'm not saying that it's true. I'm just reporting it.
That's our reporter. I'm not saying it's true, but this is the report I got. Nothing but the facts, ma'am. But we're not saying it's true. This is what we heard.
That's right. Y'all ain't gonna get me if it ain't true.
You're so cute, sir. I don't know if you guys heard the interview with Sammy the Bull. I mean, you heard the interview with Sammy the Bull, and I text some people and let them know that I want these people on my show, and it's a good possibility. That's why we played it, and key on different things. And I mean, this guy, Sammy the Bull. He carried the interview, as far as I'm concerned. He was interesting. The interviewer, Adam Carolla, he's a big deal. He's a major comedian. He's an A-list actor and a radio personality. He's been on radio for years. I don't know if he carried it well. I don't. His voice irritated me, like, and it was just that pitch, that whiny little pitch, and it ruined it for me. What do you guys think? Have you heard it? Am I correct, or I'm just over-exaggerating this, you know, because I'm listening to this dude. And it makes me think, and the reason I don't listen to interviews, because then I start questioning myself, right? Do I sound nasally like this? Do I ask stupid questions like this guy does? Does he try to be funny? Am I trying to be too funny in my interviews that fuck up the... See, these are the questions that come into my head. Hello, Fred. Cue Mr. Fred. Mr. Fred. This cat will not come. This cat will not come on cue. I'm telling you. So there you go. So I wonder how. So now it's fucking me up. I'm sorry, Liver, but it is messing me up about interviewing, because I got some good interviews coming up. I'm going to float some names to you guys. And again, they're coming up. Mike Tyson. How's that? Might be coming up.
Well.
Jada Pickett.
Now, Brian, how do you think you're going to get these people? How do you think you're going to get these people?
Well, because.
You know they charge. You got to pay them to come on.
I'm not paying them shit because you're absolutely right. I'm not paying them shit. Here's because they're all whores. They're selling books. They need the promotion. Now that's true. If you go on TV, they have the union. The union says that if any actor goes on a talk show on TV, they have to be paid union wages. That's the union. The TV. We're not union. So I don't have to pay them shit. You know what I mean? And Laverne, if you remember, I had some really well-known names interviewed on this show, and I didn't pay them shit. I had authors, clergy. I had Alex Haley's wife was on the show, had some musicians on the show. I didn't pay them anything. They need to promote.
Okay.
Now, Mike Tyson was the funniest interview. So I was talking to my brother. My brother sent me the tape. Wouldn't that be a great interview, Hammer interviewing Mike Tyson? But Mike Tyson happens to go off on people and threaten them. This is where LeBron goes, ooh, I hope you get him. I don't care if family's here. I got to listen to this. Go ahead. Go ahead, Brian. Poke the bear. Go ahead, Brian. Let me see. So here's the interview that went back. And this is the funniest thing that it was Mike. So Mike comes on this guy's show. Mike Tyson comes on the show. He liked the guy. Oh, that sounds like, let me see if I can get, I'm hoping this is better sound. Okay, you're not going to get better sound. I'm sorry. Somebody recorded this off the TV, but you'll be able to hear it. So Mike says to Mike Tyson, let you come on my show. Mike says, I like you. Are you going to give me a good interview? Mike goes, I'm going to give you a good interview. I mean, the reporter. I'm going to give you a good interview. I love you, Mike. He goes, I love you, too. That's how it started, right? So now they get to the interview, and this happened. So when you piss off Mike Tyson, this is what happens when you interview Mike Tyson. You have to listen closely because they record it off the radio, I mean off the TV, and that's not good sound.
Now, some of your critics would say, you know, this is a race for mayor. We know you're a convicted rapist. This can hurt his campaign. How would you respond to that?
Hey, I don't know who said that. You don't want to hurt you yet. You know what I mean? And I don't have no comment to that, you know, because it's negative and you're being negative.
So let me translate. So this guy wanted to get a rise out of Mike Tyson. You don't get a rise out of Mike Tyson. He's right there with Mike Tyson. So he says, so I hear that you want to run for mayor, Mike. So how can you be running for mayor when you're a rapist? Because Mike Tyson was convicted of rape. And Mike replied, nobody's saying that. You're the only one saying that. I haven't heard anything saying that. Here's where the interview goes wrong with Mike Tyson. I hope you can hear it. And this is what Michael says.
I met the mayor, right? And nothing can do about it. We actually had a really good time. We talked about George Travallo, who's a legend in your city, great man, with whom Mike spent quite a bit of time yesterday talking about his life, highs and lows.
So interesting that you come across like a nice guy, but you're really a piece of shit. Hey.
Mike says, you can see him get irritated. You got to see him on YouTube. He's pretty pissed. He says, you're coming across as a nice guy, but you're really a piece of shit. Live on the air, he called him a piece of shit. And here's where the interview goes bad with Mike Tyson.
He said, come on, man. Mike, oh, that was a piece of fuck you. That was a piece of shit.
You know, we're doing live TV.
Man, I don't care. What are you going to do about it?
All right, you got a show that you're doing tonight.
We are.
You know, a lot of people are
coming there.
The raw and it's the real truth.
Yeah, a lot of people
will be there to see your show. Just tell us a bit about it.
It speaks for itself. Everyone saw the show.
All right. It says Broadway production. It went to Vegas. It went to actually 28 cities in the United States. And we're really, really proud to bring it here. And we're actually going to Monaco on October 9th. We're going to be in Monte Carlo.
Right. Is it nerve-wracking for you to do something like this, or is it more nervous for you to box? How does it compare?
It's more nerve-wracking for me to hear talking to a rat piece of shit like you.
Come on, Mike. No, because you're a piece of shit.
All right.
Really, that's
we're gonna wrap up the interview. Thank you for coming in.
Fuck you.
Thank you for coming in. Fuck you.
One simple but brilliant trick to heat your host.
I go, so he sent it to me. He goes, if you're going to interview Mike, just don't try to piss him off, you know what I mean? And I thought that was funny. Didn't you guys think it was funny? I thought it was funny.
It was.
Laverne could say, you go ahead, Brian. I can't wait for you to interview him. You go ahead.
Have you ever seen this cartoon, Mike Tyson Mysteries?
No. What the hell?
I haven't either.
Oh, it's pretty lame, man.
That was a joke, Brian.
Oh, it was?
No, not really. I've seen it. It's pretty lame.
I thought that was a joke.
Oh, no, it's for real. No, okay.
No, I haven't heard of it. I've seen it.
It's probably the crappiest cartoon I've ever watched, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in the cartoons, too.
You know what? I don't think he made it to the United States, but that sounds really lame. What was he, a superhero stuff in a cartoon? What was he doing?
No, mystery. Solving mysteries.
Oh. Okay. Well, here's one of my other favorites of Mike Tyson. Now, Mike, this goes back when Mike Tyson was with Robin Givens. You guys remember her, the black actress? Well, she went on 2020. Yeah, she was on. She did an interview on 2020, and during that interview, she said that Mike Tyson should be in a straitjacket because he's bipolar. Completely destroyed Mike Tyson in that interview, but she made that comment about the straitjacket, right?
Right.
So.
So here's Mike Tyson in Vegas,
and he was going into this thing, and somebody yelled to him, get him in a straitjacket. Somebody yelled that. Mike lost his fucking mind. This is what happened. Let me see. I don't know. How come I'm not hearing sound? Okay. Okay, you can't hear that one. Wow. Let me see if I can get it. Okay, that sounds better. Now, if somebody yells, get him a straitjacket. And Mike's at his function, right? Everybody's all dressed up. Here we go. Look what happens.
Put your mother in a straitjacket, you punk-ass white boy. Come here and tell me if I fuck you in your ass, you punk white boy. You faggot. You can't touch me. You're not man enough. I eat your ass on the line, you bitch. Fuck you, you hoe. Come and say in my face. Fuck you, ass for everybody. You bitch. Come on, you bitch. You scared coward. You're not man enough to fuck with me. You can't last 2 minutes in my world, bitch. Look at you scared now, you hoe. Scared like a little white pussy. Scared of the real man. I'll fuck you till you love me, faggot.
There was nothing gay about that. I'll eat your asshole. I'll fuck you till you love me, you faggot. There's nothing gay about that. Wow. Laverne goes, well, so when's this interview?
Man, he must not have been that popular then, was he?
Huh?
He must not have been all that popular when he made that comment to the man.
Oh, he was. No, he was the champ. He was. He was.
But what did they do? Did they do the same to his rap?
Well, he did that. After he did that interview with Robin Givens in 2020, Robin Givens mentioned that Mike Tyson should be in a straitjacket. He's mentally ill. After that interview, and he was the champion. He was champion. After the interview, he went to this premiere, and that's when the guy said a straitjacket because he got it from the interview, and Mike Tyson went off. He went off. Let's listen to it again. And so you hear the guy says straitjacket. You'll hear it right here. Here you go.
Put your mother in a straitjacket, you punk-ass white boy.
Dad.
Wow. I'll eat your asshole. Now, And you don't say that with another man, because that means you're really going to beat him up. Because if you're going to, if they said somebody, only Mr. Solution will say that to me. He goes, Mr. Solution, stop it. You better cut it out, Brian. I'll eat up your asshole.
Here we go.
Oh, yeah, right. So you guys, really? All right, here we go. Here we go.
What's your mother to say, Jackie, you punk-ass white boy? What's your mother to say? What's your mother to say, Jackie, you punk-ass white boy? Come here and tell me if I fuck you in your ass, you punk white boy. You faggot. You can't touch me. You're not man enough. I eat your ass on a lobby, bitch. Fuck you, you hoe. Come here.
I have never heard another man say to another man in anger, I will eat your asshole alive, bitch. I've never heard that before.
But I'm asking you, that man didn't mess with his reputation.
I don't know. I mean, you're the champion. Your most fierce fighter, and he goes, I'll eat your asshole, you bitch. What do you think? I mean, that kind of,
I don't know.
It's like, whoa, this guy's serious. I just had visions, Laverne. I really did that. I'm going to ask him wrong, if he comes on, I'm going to ask him wrong question. It's like, fuck you, you bitch. Hammer, I'll eat your asshole. I'll go, Okay, we're going to a commercial now. And is there a song that you want, Mike, that you want me to play? I'm going to kill you, bitch. Okay, we'll be right back after this break. And Laverne will be laughing and laughing. I'm staying through post podcast. Here we go.
I think you should mention the straitjacket.
Oh, it's cold in here. Let me put on my straitjacket. Wow.
What's your mother to say, Jackie, you punk-ass white boy? Come here and tell me if I fuck you in your ass, you punk white boy. You faggot. You can't touch me. You're not man enough. I eat your ass on a lobby, bitch. Fuck you, you hoe. Come and say in my face, I fuck you, your ass for everybody. You bitch. Come on, you bitch. You scared coward. You got man enough to fuck with me. You can't last 2 minutes in my world, bitch. Look at you scared now, you hoe. Scared like a little white pussy. Scared of the real man. I'll fuck you till you love me, faggot.
I'm not paying enough to anybody's gonna hurt me.
I'll fuck you till you love me, you faggot. I don't use that line. You new in town? Well, no, I'm
a celebrity.
Yes, I'm new. I'm Canadian. Oh, you're Canadian, so you're new in town? Yes. Would you like to have another drink? Well, I don't really drink. You better drink because I'm going to fuck you till you love me, you bitch. Okay.
Hey. Yeah, but that one crossed too many lines.
Where are you, Brian?
I wonder how that works, though, if you refuse Mike Tyson, man. I mean, I'll eat your asshole, you bitch, and I'll fuck you. I'll fuck you till you love me. Would that work? It probably works in Canada.
No, it might work for you, but I don't see why he didn't lose a lot of endorsements and things like that.
Well, he's a champ. I don't think he did many commercials. I have never seen Mike Tyson do a commercial. Be honest with you, I have never seen one. I've never seen Mike do a commercial. Mike Tyson is just an animal. Listen to this. This is a fighter who wanted to fight, and I'm doing this because I'm going to interview Mike. So this is a fighter who asked the wrong question to Mike. It's a fighter. Here we go.
Mike Tyson, who's standing by with Jim Gray. Jim?
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Steve. Mike, was that your shortest fight ever? I bear witness there's only one God, and Muhammad's blessings and peace be upon him is his prophet. I dedicate this fight to my brother, Darryl Baum, who died. I'll be there to see you. I love you with all my heart. All praise be to my children. I love you. Oh, God, amen. Watch.
this your shortest fight ever? Any time, amateur, professional, ever?
Assalamu alaikum, Maida. I don't know, man. Yeah, Lennox Lewis. Lennox, I'm coming for you.
Is it frustrating to train like you did and then have this for 7 or 8 seconds?
For this fight. I only trained probably 2 weeks or 3 weeks for this fight. I had to bury my best friend, and I dedicated this fight. I wasn't going to fight. I dedicated this fight to him. I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from Nairclaw. There's no one that can match me. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable. And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Are you saying now, Mike?
I want to eat your children. Nice guy. Okay,
yeah,
I think we've seen enough of this. Yeah, I want to eat your, eat your children. There you go.
And you want to interview this guy.
Yeah, I really do. I really do. Speaking of which, I was supposed to call him at 9 o'clock and the legends begin in sports. And he was supposed to come on. I got to reschedule him because I was on with you guys. You guys don't. I'm a Raider fan. I already told you.
Okay.
It's a football thing, and so he was the assassin. And back in the day when you played football in the Oakland Raiders, they used to call him the Hitman. One of the dirtiest players in the NFL. And if you think about, again, sports, I am a Raider fan. And I love the Raiders. And George Atkinson, the legendary George Atkinson, will be on this show. I was supposed to call him, but I'm talking to you guys. And here's a little bit of who he is. If you're a guy, you should know who he is. He'll be on. So if you're a Raider fan, if you're a football fan, you're looking for a legend, this is who he is. Listen to this guy. Oh, I hate these commercials. I hate these commercials, man. I can't move it until they're done. Okay. Oh, my God. What are they doing to YouTube now? You can't even skip the commercials. Here we go.
The Bengals' Paul Robinson, number 18, was a world-class hurdler, but the man motoring in pursuit was the Raiders' George Atkinson, number 43. He turns most races into mismatches.
He was the meanest and the toughest Raider.
We viewed receivers as burglars breaking into your house. So if you catch a burglar breaking into your house, he pays the consequences.
What the heck are we listening to?
They're just showing a montage of him taking down football players and chopping their heads off from their bodies. He was being the most nastiest, and they call him the Hitman. Jack Tatum was called the Assassin. And
closing bell to closing bell, you're going to get hit. You're going to get hit hard, and you're going to get hit consistently. We wanted to leave them with an impression that, hey, this is not a contact sport. This is a collision sport, and that's what we did. We made collisions with where I was hit. The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering voicelessly. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain pink and bold. and the trees all shake and quiver and fake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won. George Atkinson was the culprit this time, except that Atkinson outdid his teammates by being hit with two penalties on the same play.
I mean, they wanted to say the Raiders are dirty. Yeah, we're dirty. Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
You're just showing how they're taking guys' heads off. And that was John Madden. Yeah, we're dirty. What are you going to do about it? And so George is coming on the show, everybody. So if you have if you're not a sports fan, ask your husband. I know it's sexist. They'll know who the Raiders are. And if they're over 45, they'll know who Jack Tatum and George Atkinson is. And George Atkinson happens to be my cousin, and he'll be on the show. And he was so vicious and so dirty that they had to have security lead him into the Coliseum because people were trying to hit him. It says here, my tribute to the 5'10", he was only 5'10", 180 pounds. 5'10", 180-pound rattlesnake named George Atkinson, who played for the Raiders from 1968 to 1977, starting as a corner before moving to strong safety. He was easily outsized by 3 inches and 50 pounds from the tight end. But in his division alone, Atkinson would meet the Broncos 6'4", 235-pound tight end Riley Odoms and the Chiefs 6'10", 225 tight end Morris Stroud twice a year. Well, yes, the Raiders were always an aggressive team, and yes, the Raiders revealed in their ominous image. George Atkinson takes it to a whole nother level. Along with the assassin Jack Tatum, Dr. Death, Skip Thomas, and the godfather of bump and run, Willie Brown, they formed one of the most intimidating secondary in all of football. They finally got their recognition when their style play was highlighted in the Raiders' first Super Bowl. That's where I was at. I was a kid that went to the Super Bowl. Says the two things I respect most after making this video was, for one, he was most certainly would throw cheap shots out there, but he would do it right in your own bench area with no fear. He would tackle you out of bounds into your own bench, not a cheap shot, but at your own bench or where no one was looking. Atkinson robbed the bank in broad daylight. The other being he is going to be at a size disadvantage every game, but found a way to be a starter in the NFL. And so one more thing. There is more research about Atkinson on trial. So many people were involved. Mel Blount was going to retire when he was lumped into the criminal element, which I never heard of before. The NFL being exposed to violence in the game was not good. And then he says, my favorite quote was when Raiders quarterback Ken Stabler asked George Atkinson why he broke Russ Francis's nose. George replied, well, pounds, and I'm 5'11", 180 pounds. And I just had to let him know that is how it was going to be today. And Atkinson versus Francis got heated in the papers as well, with Francis saying Atkinson was a tough football player and was a dirty player. Yep. They made men back then who didn't whine about things, just handled their business, and that's who he was. And here's George's own words. And this is George Hitman Atkinson.
90 million watching on television, countless millions listening on radio. The Roman circus was never so grand.
Few teams were ever as intimidating as the 1976 Oakland Raiders. And their hardest hitters were Jack Tatum and George Atkinson. George Atkinson, when he had his head a little hook, George wasn't really big enough to take on some of those fullbacks and guys, so he would come in from the side and just hook them right across the face, in the eyes, in the nose, under the chin. And he was great at it. And he did it with the power.
you can see receivers kind of pulling up. You can see it in their eyes. You can see fear in the receiver's face. The tough ones hang tough in there, but the ones that don't have a lot of heart, they give it up.
Even star tight end Russ Francis had trouble going up against Atkinson in the 1976 playoffs.
George popped Russ Francis right in the nose, broke his nose. It bled the whole game. I said, George, why don't you do that? He said, well, that guy's 6'5", 230 pounds, and I'm 5'11", 180, and I just had to let him know that that's the way it's going to be today.
George, one of the great conversationalists in the game. When he gets excited, well, he gets going like a magpie.
The Raiders' hardest hitter was the assassin, free safety Jack Tatum.
Tatum's shot sounded different. Most guys tackle, and you hear shoulder pad, there's a certain sound you make. But a Tatum tackle was like a car wreck. We used to keep score, 1 point for a limp off. And that would be semi-concussion-y when they'd limp off and stumble around and stuff. But a knockout was like Tatum's specialty. Jack would come up with the head under the chin, and the guy'd be gone.
I've caught receivers looking for me instead of looking for the ball. If you can get a receiver thinking about you, but then he can't be concentrating on you and the ball at the same time. Consequently, sometimes he may travel to you.
Both Tatum and Atkinson deeply resented the Pittsburgh Steelers' attempts to portray them as criminals.
I think George has proven himself and what kind of a person he is as far as his play on the field. And George doesn't look like he's going to change his style of play. And if the league doesn't do anything, well, who knows? They do have the power to kick a guy out of the ball game if they feel he's going to commit these type of acts.
The Steelers' efforts succeeded in making Tatum and Atkinson notorious on an international scale.
He could hear the George Atkinson guy responsible, Lynn Swan, également, ce qu'il a fait.
We have been labeled as the criminal element of the game, which is, I think, unfair. I saw J.T. Thomas hit Ken Anderson out of bounds after the play. The coach didn't label this as being dirty. He said he was aggressive. I've seen Mel Blount hit Cliff in the back of the head. I've seen Jack Lambert grab fellas with a face mask, but you can break a fella's neck. This is considered aggressive play as far as Pittsburgh is concerned. You know, when we play aggressive, we get a label as dirty ball players.
We've been labeled as cheap shot artists, criminals, and everything else. When we get out of professional football, we're going to have to do something else, but nobody wants a criminal. Nobody wants a criminal around them, you know, bad social influence or whatever. And I think it's just, you know, unfair label that we've been stuck with. And I think, you know, they're trying to get us to change our style of play, but I don't think it's done that. You know, I still play our same aggressive type game, and that's what I'm here for. I'm a professional athlete. I'm being paid to do a job, and I'm doing my job.
It was a job the assassin and George Atkinson did well enough to reach the top of the football world in 1976.
Number one, world champs. World champs.
There you go. The hitman and the assassin, one of the dirtiest football players ever. There you go. And I lost everybody. I lost all the girls. Of course, I lost the girls.
He was a tough guy.
But I'm telling you, he's coming on the show. He's coming on the show. I love him. So he's coming on. So if you look at the theme, it's kind of a violent theme that I'm trying to get. The hitman coming on the show, trying to get Sammy the Bull Gabbano on the show. And Mike Tyson and Jada Pickett. There you go, people. All right. Wow, I lost a lot of people. You know, you're the only one. So the story was the rise and the fall of the gay mafia. Are you interested, Pat? You're the only one in.
I'm not interested anyway.
But
yeah.
It's about the entertainment industry. It's about the entertainment industry. About the gays, the underground cabal. No? Okay. Then I won't do it.
It's not that interesting when you live in Canada.
Okay, then I won't do it. But there's a lot of people who are not getting work because of their saying that the longstanding fear of homosexual men spurred a century-long paranoia about an alleged gay mafia controlling areas of the government. The gay mafia was controlling areas of the government, the arts, and the academic. Yeah, but if you're not interested, I won't
do
it.
How paranoid are people?
That's just how it is. It was really, I'd like to do a story, but I may do it another time because nobody's interested in it. But I will do that story because it's a fascinating story how they control. It went all the way to the White House with the gay mafia. It went all the way to McCarthy with the witch hunt in the 1950s. It's a great story. But nobody's interested in that. They all left. What I'm going to do is I'm going to end the show. Pat, it's good to hear from you from the weekend. It's good to hear from you, kid.
Well, I'm sitting here waiting to see if I'll get any effect from, it's been too long now.
Oh, you tried the shrooms already? You got nothing, huh?
Yeah, I got my balance back. I feel really good, but I'm not high.
They don't work for me.
More.
Did you really? They don't work for me. I tried them once, and it didn't work for me.
Well,
you know,
what
it didn't,
did you do?
I mean, I almost did a half a bag, but they were old, and I just chewed them and chewed them and nothing. I got nothing. I got nothing.
Well, they say if you soak it in lemon juice first, it releases a lot faster.
Is that what it is, huh? Okay.
You can look it up. It's
called
lemon tucking.
Okay. I don't know if anybody sells shrooms anymore, and they can't get them from the store. But you know what's coming up? You'll see me promote the music show and with musical guests, and you'll see me promote the author's thing. I'm going rogue. I'm going without Ellen. I invited Ellen to work with me. Guess what? I'm going rogue myself. So there's going to be a lot of promotion going on lately, and you'll see it. Pat, I'm hoping that you can let me see. Let me help you with your shrooms. Let me see. Maybe some music. You like music, Pat? Sometimes music can spirit. It can start it up.
Well, actually, I've turned on music. But if you need
to
play something to go do something, go for it.
Let's see. Okay, let me see. How about this? Let me see if we have this. What kind of shroom music do I have? I don't have good. I don't have good shroom music. I have this.
There's over 1 million of us. We're in your offices, in your bars,
in your gyms.
We're in your living room kicking your ass at Madden 2010.
We're at your mom's house making her airtight.
Whoa, bro.
The time has come.
The time has come for a change.
For too long, you've told me to shut the fuck up.
To calm down when you're the one with your elbow over the table.
The people who are different from me matter.
That laughing at my own jokes doesn't make them funnier.
Well, you can't keep us down anymore.
We?
You know, I play a song.
We are douchebags.
We are douchebags.
Taking back the world.
And,
the Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines a douche.
It is. Yeah. This is a movie I was in. I never talked about the movies I was in, but I kind of partial about this movie I was in. But here's the name of the song of that movie, okay? I think you'll like it, Pat.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
People tell me they're hate. Now, my girl, you're so young and pretty. And one thing I believe
through, we did move.
You into your second high level of high. What do you think?
That's pretty good. I know that song.
Well, Pat, where did you get the shrooms at anyway?
A friend.
There's
a store downtown. There's a store downtown. You can buy them online.
Oh,
so
okay.
I just happened to be given them at the 420, but I didn't take them because I was waiting for that surgery.
Ah.
I was afraid of messing up my brain for the anesthetic.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that. It's been a good show. It's been a good show today, Pat.
It's
I'm going to end it with this song. But it's been a good
so
show.
So you're on the way out, eh?
Yeah. I got some business I got to take care of. I got to book this show. I'm going to try to change the show.
Okay, when
are
you on again?
Huh?
When you on again?
When I want to... Wait, say that again? Wait a minute, I didn't.
When
what
are
you say?
On again?
Tomorrow.
Okay.
I will try to do it at 7:30, but I will try to give you enough information that you get on. We're going to have a good, all week we're going to have great shows. I promise.
Okay.
Pat, I want to thank you for coming on. Rock on, girly.
Oh. I will.
And could you tell everybody your website? You got about 5 seconds. Can you tell everybody your website?
SpiritualNiagara.ca.
There you go. Pat, I'll see you tomorrow. Bye, kiddo. Thank you for coming in.
Bye, dear.
Bye, kiddo. Be careful with those shrooms. Don't take that trip too long because I need you back tomorrow, so take a little trip. See you later, Mitten.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
It's been a long day. about you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When I see you again.
Damn, who knew? All the planes we flew, good things we've been through, that I'll be standing right here talking.